much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Can't get your song out of my mind. I haven't felt this way since Funky Town.
And now.
Am I the only one who can work and drink at the same time?
Our feature presentation.
No, you are not, as a matter of fact. You're probably the only one who does it well.
You were offended by her suggesting that she's the only one who can eat and drink at the same time, I bet, right?
I mean, I can't, really, but other people can. I've seen them.
Hey, check this out.
Here comes Connor, closing in, save, rebound.
Well, that couldn't have been any tighter.
How crazy was that 18 minutes into overtime?
Yes.
Wow.
I thought it was going to be. And I kept thinking about this, by the way. A lot of things I was thinking. But had that game been the game that was played Sunday and the overtimes would have kept going,
the
Clippers would have not played Sunday night. They would have had to. They would have moved the game to Monday.
I don't know what they would have done. Yeah.
That's what they were going to do. If the Kings game didn't end by four, they were going to postpone the Clippers game until the next night.
That
was their drop dead time. Isn't that crazy to think how many people that would have affected if that would have happened?
Yeah. Not to mention just the teams going, I don't know if we're going to play today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's weird.
That would have been a lot of basketball players watching a hockey game for the first time ever going, I got to watch so I know what time to leave for work.
But if you didn't if you were recording it and you didn't set it for, I don't know, an extra hour and a half, you would not have gotten the ending of that game.
So what'd you think? I didn't watch the whole game. I watched a lot of it. But what was the overall deal? Was just back and forth? Just two teams just giving 110%?
It was crazy. It was 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3-3. I mean, no one ran away with it. It stayed tied at the end of the game into overtime and... Unbelievable. I got to tell you, if you know me, though, Dustin Penner, I've been a solid fan of his from the beginning.
I think you've done nothing but complain about him.
He's the goods. I've been talking about how we need to trade him all year. I've been talking about that. And then he scores the game-winning goal.
Well, the best teams are the teams that anyone can step up and win it for you.
Yes.
And you know, you just do. You go deep where you have to. What was the deal, before I move on here, what was the deal with a tiny bit of controversy, even after the celebrating had already begun, with the Coyotes still protesting a call? What happened?
Well, Dustin Brown hit, I forget the name of the player from Phoenix, in the middle of the ice, and really like hurt him. He couldn't put any weight on his knee. They thought it was his knee or his thigh or something because they bang knees. And if you lead with a leg, it's a penalty. Mm-hmm. And so Phoenix was livid because they thought it was a bad hit.
Gotcha.
You know, if you're a Kings fan, you look at it, you can go, hey, it was an intentional bad hit. But if you're a Phoenix fan, I imagine you probably thought it was intentional and whatever. And so they were really upset about that.
It's like basketball fans who complain the foul doesn't get called when a guy backs into somebody, you know, doesn't see him. But technically, I guess it's a foul, but it wasn't on purpose, right? It was that kind of a thing.
Right, but it was a pretty bad collision.
Yeah.
So then they look at it and they go, he's that kind of a player. And he is. He was number two in the NHL all season with hits. I mean, that's what he does. But he doesn't usually do it dirty. So,
will Dustin Penner get that tooth replaced in the offseason?
I don't
know. What's his plan there?
Because that tooth's been missing most of the year. It makes him look dumb. But there are a lot of hockey players that have teeth missing. And they just go, you know what? Until the season's over, what's the point?
Because it's just going to come out again.
Get knocked out again.
Right.
So, I don't know, but he does look dumb.
Well, congratulations. 20 years later, the Kings are going back to the Stanley Cup. And I think you just heard that interview with Bill Simmons a few minutes ago. He was talking about how hockey kind of has been overshadowed by basketball this season in Los Angeles. But I think now that people don't have basketball, they're going to be looking around and going, hey, this looks fun over here. It's probably going to become a very big deal soon. And It's very exciting.
Stanley Cup Finals.
Can't very wait. Exciting.
And the other good thing is that the Eastern Conference playoffs are like tied up at 2-2 or
2-2, right.
Something around there. So they can rest for about a week before they actually end up having to play.
That'll be nice. So. Hey, real quick, baseball, of course, is way better, and I have to do this story before we move in. And I truly believe that. I truly believe it's the best sport.
That's
in the history of baseball, in the 130 years or whatever since baseball is being played, something happened yesterday that, as far as statisticians know, has never happened before.
The crowd was excited?
I always think that's fascinating.
People at home enjoyed watching?
It did involve the crowd, as a matter of fact. A 20-year-old junior from Thomas More College in Cincinnati became the first person in the history of Major League Baseball attendance to apparently catch 2 home run balls from consecutive batters.
What?
No.
I don't know what the chances – I mean, you got to be talking lottery-winning chances.
Yeah, astronomical.
Because when you think – I mean, just think about the millions of people who have been to hundreds of thousands of games who have never caught a ball, never even been close to – I've never even come close to catching a ball. I don't think one's ever landed within 10 rows of me.
Not even like a guy in your row caught one.
Exactly.
And all the little kids, they all bring their gloves, you know, hoping to catch one.
So he caught a ball hit by the pitcher for the Reds, Mike Leake. It was his first career homer in the 4th inning. The ball went directly to the fan. He had never caught a ball before. It hit my hand, he said. I didn't expect to actually catch it. I'd never caught a home run ball before, and it hurt really bad. Which, by the way, I always think you never want to be the first guy to touch that ball. You always want to have it bounce off of somebody else or bounce off a seat or something before it gets to you because it's coming pretty fast.
Not usually a clean catch because of that.
3 pitches later, the shortstop for the Reds hits another one to the same area, and the ball bounced right to Lloyd, which he caught with his other hand.
Oh, what?
He had a ball in one hand.
Oh, my God.
That's
the
crazy.
The second one bounced right into my lap. It was like, oh, my gosh, it's just crazy. I couldn't believe my eyes. Right now, I still can't believe it's happening. He gave the second home run ball to the friend who had convinced him to go to the game, and he, knowing it was Leake's first career homer, the pitcher hit the first one, he saved that ball and offered it to the pitcher for an autograph after a game. I just wanted to meet him, he said, standing outside the clubhouse.
Wow.
When he caught the second one, they put up on the video board, professional home run ball catcher, what they put as his
caption. That's crazy.
I don't know what the chances of that are, but man, does he have a story to tell about going to that game, right?
No kidding.
Good times.
2 home run balls.
Back to back,
within 3 pitches.
Yeah, not like in the course of a season, but yeah, consecutive batters. So, just
that's
crazy.
Nuts. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
The Bible's again it. God's again it. I'm again it. And if you've got any sense, you're again it.
And by again, does he mean against?
Yes, he does. He's from North Carolina.
And they say again?
Again.
Some do.
Okay.
He's my favorite guy in the news right now. He's the one who wants to build an electrified fence to put all the queers and the lesbians in, as he says.
Oh, man.
And let them and drop them food, but he says they'll all die out because they can't reproduce. So he says that's how you get rid of them. And he never addresses, well, what about the new ones that are being born every day? What do you do about them?
Give him some time. He'll come up with an equally horrible
It's been a while since I've seen somebody with an audience suggest a concentration camp as the answer to our problems, but he's going for it.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Bean's Death Corner.
Mm-hmm.
He loves death. Human death.
He's kind of making love me death. Love death.
Yeah.
Is he really?
You get excited now when you see a story on the news, don't
kinda
you,
kind of interesting, yeah.
Jermaine Clement is in Men in Black 3, and we're going to talk to him today about that.
Awesome.
The Queen's panties sold for $18,000. What is wrong with people? comedian Bobby Slayton will be in the program today.
Wow.
He will be in the studio. You're mistaken.
I'm exhausted.
You're mistaken for a celebrity. This seems to happen to certain people. A girl got kicked because she looked like Snooki. Can you imagine? First of all, you look like Snooki. You can't be happy with the way you look.
Right.
Then Snooki comes along and makes it 100 times worse.
Right.
So that sucks. And we have to take Dan Bova to task, the editor-in-chief of Maxim. They put out their top 100 list of the hottest girls. And Kate Upton, not number one.
Or two.
Or three.
Or 20.
Or three.
Or 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in the
bogus.
She's almost 40. She's almost in the 40. So that's just bogus.
Well,
right?
We're going to fire him is what we're going to do.
Can we do
Can we fire him?
Yes.
Okay.
We have the authority because we have the outrage.
And we also have your tickets for Rise Against. So keep listening for your chance to win that. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
And now a moment with Bean.
Wednesday, May 23rd, with special gay Ralphie May.
I'm sorry.
Gay.
Special gay.
That was A Moment with Bean.
You are so intolerant of people's sexual lifestyles.
I find that to be true as well.
It's repugnant to me.
I should stop labeling people. You're right. It's my mistake. Hey, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show 5:53. What's new?
I have got tickets to give away to a very special advanced screening of a very funny new movie called High School.
Yay!
It's happening on Wednesday, May the 30th. The movie is in theaters everywhere on Friday, June the 1st, in case you don't win these tickets. But we're doing a special advanced screening at the Rave 18 in Los Angeles. If you'd like to check this film out, stars Adrian Brody, Michael Chiklis, Colin Hanks will be stopping by the show to talk about the film. Basic premise is a soon-to-be valedictorian is concerned for his career, his college career, his future career when he ends up getting stoned. And he becomes subjected to a drug test, a mandatory drug test in the school. So he decides to get the entire school stoned so that he won't stand out in the drug test. And he does it with bake sale brownies and end up getting the entire school, including the faculty, stoned at high school. And chaos ensues. Looks very, very funny. If you want to check out the movie and like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. It's the number to call first. Two callers to get through. We want a pair of passes for our special advanced screening of High School. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, it's good times to be gay.
Okay.
Things are going well for the gay, especially in the world of comic books. Marvel Comics has announced yesterday that they're going to have their first gay marriage in Marvel Comics. One of the X-Men, Northstar, will be tying the knot with his longtime boyfriend, Kyle Ginadu.
Northstar gets a name like Northstar, and the other guy's just Kyle?
Well, he's just a guy. Okay. He's just a guy who just happens to be the boyfriend of an X-Man.
Oh.
But Northstar was the first openly gay superhero coming out of the closet back in 1992, so it's about time they got married, those two crazy kids. Not to be outdone, DC Comics yesterday mentioned that one of their longtime standing iconic characters is going to come out of the closet sometime soon.
Really?
The Bible's again it. God's again it. I'm again it. And if you've got any sense, you're again it.
I'm not again it, sir. I'm again using the word again.
As am I.
I'm again dumb Southerners. Hey, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
This book trilogy, based on the shenanigans between a billionaire and a college student who he likes to tie up and bang.
There's three of them?
Oh, it's a trilogy of books. Yeah.
I thought this was just a one-off book.
Oh, Beans, please. Come on.
Get up on your mommy porn.
Open up a blog. They have now sold collectively 10 million copies in just 6 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
They are outselling the Hunger Games trilogy. They're now bigger than that trilogy in terms of sales.
That's stunning.
Between Amazon.com and New York Times bestseller list, it says it's the best-selling book of the year by far, and the other two are right behind it. So, craziness for this book.
Yeah.
Nuts.
My wife was on a plane on Sunday and sat next to a 50-something-year-old man who was reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, now, I bet he was.
Explain that to me.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow, because it's hot and sexy stuff. It's just a shade above porn, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From all accounts. I mean, I haven't read it, but if...
But it seems to be
if you like
socially
the Penthouse
accepted
letters,
porn.
Yeah, if you like the Penthouse Forum, yeah, then this is your chance to read it out in public. Still can't do what you want to do when you're reading it, though. That's what I found.
How'd you find that out?
Well, you know, I was on a plane reading it, and the stewardess came by and asked me to lower my seat tray table.
You said I would if I could.
Yep. And Jennifer Love Hewitt, while we're talking about sex, is talking about things she wants to do before she dies. And she said one of the big things on her bucket list is she wants to be a Victoria's Secret angel. Just for a day.
I'm down with that.
She wants to walk the runway in sexy undergarments, wearing those wings, and be a member of the Victoria's Secret Angel Corps for just one day. She's a little minx. She sure is. Jennifer Love Hewitt. She likes talking about her vagina and dressing up sexy and her boobs and whatnot.
She really does.
She's a party.
She's the giant size cans.
And she's so pretty and seems so nice, yet somehow can't keep a man.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that?
What's up with that?
Congratulations to Donald Driver, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. He won Dancing with the Stars.
All right.
He won over classical singer Katherine Jenkins, who's beautiful, by the way. She came in second, and then telenovela star William Levy came in third, apparently. He's the third NFL player over the 14 seasons of Dancing with the Stars to win the Mirror Ball Trophy.
Hmm.
Emmitt
hmm.
Smith, Hines Ward, now Donald Driver. I don't know what they got in the NFL, but they sure can dance.
I think what they have is a commitment to excellence and to training,
Raider
and working
Nation.
Hard, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think that's what they have to do every week in their job.
Yeah, but still, you know, dancing is a different different.
Yeah, you can
skill set.
Work at it all you
right.
want.
No, you can be the greatest athlete in the world and just work 8 hours a day and still not be a good dancer.
I agree, but I'd be willing to bet that they work harder than some, you know, pansy TV star who's just there for exposure. You know what I mean? Who's not really into it. I mean, these guys are just competitors.
Yeah.
So TV stars are pansies, is that what you're saying now?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Wow. Oh, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you.
No,
thank
it's
you.
Not, Harvey. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Jewel.
Yes.
Jewel turns 38 years old today. Singer Maxwell is 39 years old today. Actress, model, former DJ, VJ, Duff is 51. Good day for people with one name to have birthdays.
Karen Duffy? Is
Karen
that
Duffy, yes. Yeah. But she went by Duff over there on MTV for many years. Phil Selway, Radiohead, the drummer for that band, is 45 years old. Drew Carey, comedian, friend of the show, although we haven't talked to him in a
It's been a while.
It's been a while. He, of course, now the host of Price is Right, 54 years old today. He was great on the, I know you probably didn't see it, Kevin, but they did a special on PBS last weekend on Johnny Carson, the American Masters series on PBS.
I didn't see it, but I heard it was great.
About the life and career of Johnny Carson, who was, of course, the biggest host of all of the Tonight Show hosts. And Drew Carey was interviewed. A lot of these comedians got their big break by being on the Carson Tonight Show. And when he started talking about that event, he started crying.
He did.
That's how significant that moment was in his life. And it was a great interview. Great special. I thought it was really terrific. They'll probably rerun it. You can check it out yourself.
So Lisa saw that. Ralph saw that. I saw that. What do we have to do for you, Kevin?
Get it off PBS?
Why? Because it's on PBS. Is it bad?
Do you just don't tape it? I mean, it doesn't work when you try.
Yeah, we all get PBS.
I don't think I do. If the Kings game had been on PBS, would you have watched it?
Yeah, of course.
What if Swamp People was on PBS?
Yes.
If they had Swamp People on PBS, would you watch
it? Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of good stuff on
PBS. I would have to call and go an order and say,
well, you wouldn't. It comes to your house.
I don't think so.
It's such a good show, though.
But is it on PBS?
This is unbelievable. Wow. This is the greatest, widest Kevin hate I've ever heard.
No, but here's the thing.
You're being like aggressively ignorant now. You're going out of your way to be dumb.
I'm not. But what I'm telling you is, although it sounds like a TV special I would enjoy, I don't ever go to PBS to look for stuff like that.
Right, but there was a heads up that it was going to be on.
Heads up.
We weren't asking you to channel surf and come across
where
it.
Where would
we
I
all
have seen that?
About
I didn't know anything about it.
We heard
about
ads about it.
The press was talking about it for weeks leading up to the event.
It's a big deal.
Special it was going
to
be.
I don't know what to tell you. It wasn't in my realm, my world.
Yeah.
So I didn't clue in on it. I may now. I may try and go tape it now.
No,
it's still
you
on.
Won't do that.
But I don't get PBS, so I don't know.
You do get PBS.
No, I mean, I just don't understand it.
Drew Carey's 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jermaine Clement joins us coming up next year on the Kevin DeMean Show. He is one of the stars of Men in Black 3, one of the most anticipated movies of the year. He's the one who did not win the Oscar for writing the music for The Muppets, right?
Yes.
So we shouldn't bring that up. That was just
right.
Part of Brett.
Right.
Okay.
What, you're just putting it in our head, so I'll do it?
No, I'm saying let's not bring it up.
All
let's
right.
not be confused and say, hey, what are you doing with that Academy Award? Because it's the other guy. That's all.
Got
I'm
it.
Saying. Although I bet the other guy is really rubbing it in. That's coming up at the Kevin DeMean Show. First, though, did you miss this last night?
Here comes Connor closing in. Save, rebound out in front of Tampa Penner. He scores! Dustin Penner ends it in overtime, and the LA Kings are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
That was crazy. It was last night in Phoenix, and it was almost 18 minutes into overtime, which means they played three 20-minute periods. They were tied at three. Then they play another 20-minute overtime. Could have gone on forever.
Why?
My
Here's
God.
A question, and I'm sure a lot of non-hockey followers are going to be having this question. Kevin, maybe you can answer it. So Los Angeles was in it, and Sacramento was in it.
No.
So why were they playing it in Phoenix?
No.
I'm confused. I don't understand, because
no,
I've been watching
the
news, and the Kings
no.
are in Sacramento, I'm
right.
pretty sure.
That's what the local news would have you believe. Here's the thing. You work at a TV station, and you do sports. Most of the guys are sports. It's not just the one of them is Chuck Henry from Channel 4, who, of course, is bad in every way. But the other people are the sportscasters that are doing these reports, and they're talking about the Kings. By the way, Bean, I just wanted to mention quickly, remember we were talking about superstitions?
Yes.
They bring out the trophy, and they present it for the Western Conference Finals. It's a giant trophy, and they present it to the captain, Dustin Brown, who doesn't touch it.
Right.
Because that's the tradition. You don't touch it until you won the Stanley Cup. So he just leaves it on the table while all the Phoenix fans are booing and throwing stuff on the ice.
I know, it was quite a celebration
in the wrong city.
There was a lot of booing going on for the team that just won, by the way. A lot of booing.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you win it on their ice.
Right.
And one of their players got injured just before, so they were really mad. I mean, the refs were kind of bad both ways, and I can understand why they were mad. But what Bean's talking about, the local news, when they were doing the story about the Kings and the Clippers and the Lakers, Channel 4 put up a logo, and they had the Clippers logo, and they had the Lakers logo, and they had the Sacramento Kings logo. Now,
by the way, this is not the fault of any of the on-air people. You understand that they don't have anything to do with the backgrounds
of
the
news, course.
Right?
Whoever did it should be fired.
Yeah, the research people, they're the ones who put those graphics together. Those are the ones who ought to go, oh, I don't know, this is a team that's been in Los Angeles for, you know, since 1965 or something.
We
ought to at least know what their logo looks
like. And this is the third round of the playoffs.
Yes.
So they've been in the playoffs now for a month and a half.
And no one has called?
Right.
No one has said anything?
I mean, they did finally retract, make an apology.
Wow, it took a while.
It took a while, but it's the bizarre thing. It's not like the Sacramento Kings were on fire this year either, like they were in the headlines a lot.
You could understand the confusion if the Kings were in the NBA playoffs at the same time that the Kings were in the NHL playoffs, but that wasn't the case.
So they put up the logo of the Sacramento Kings, and then Chuck Henry came back on the air and had this to say.
Clear and simple, we goofed yesterday on our story about the Kings, the Lakers, and the Clippers. The wrong logo for the LA Kings appeared over my shoulder. This is the right one. Although we didn't see it at the time, we know that you did. And to all the fans who let us know your feelings about this, let me assure you that everyone who works to get things right on this newscast feels the same way.
Oh.
We've apologized to the team and now, most importantly, to you. Well, the Kings are in action again tonight in Phoenix.
Right. So that's Channel 4 after having put up the wrong logo. Then you go to Channel 2.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 2 was doing a piece about the Kings, and they showed the Sacramento Kings mascot.
Oh, my God.
What the hell is going on?
Did they have anything on the Dodgers surprisingly sweeping the Arizona Cardinals over the weekend? Did they mention that at all?
Imagine what's happening at these news channels, because it's a local team. Look, you're not a fan of hockey. Okay, fine. If you work in a sports department at a TV show, maybe you should know about that just because it's partly your job.
Someone should know that.
It's absurd.
Of course, yeah.
But nothing was as bad as Lisa Habib from Channel 11. Lisa Habib from Channel 11.
And now she's a sportscaster?
She is a spectacular sportscaster.
Okay.
And this is her report on one of the games.
There's Anze Kopitar.
It's Kopitar, not Kopitar.
Scores. And this one is tied at one. Now we're going to go to the third period. It's still 1-1. The Kings have the ball.
But it's not a ball. It's really not a ball. They don't really play hockey with a ball.
Wait, are we in the fourth quarter?
Unbelievable.
The ball. The puck. Did I say that? The Kings have the puck and Dwight King scores. Yes. The sellout crowd of Staples goes crazy.
Listen to everybody trying to butt in and bail her out. It's a lot of teams.
He got a touchdown, and it's 2-1 Kings. That's just terrible. Moments later, Shane Doan trying to tie it for Phoenix, but watch Brad Doughty. Says, not tonight.
Doughty. It's not Brad. For God's sake. Isn't it unbelievable?
Come on. Someone sit someone down and tell them.
Run through it.
These aren't the easiest names always.
Well, his name is Drew, not Brad. First of all. And then it's not Doughty. What's happening? Like Lisa says, doesn't somebody just sit down and go, here are the names.
Practice.
But Kevin, these are your people. Why are you embracing this excellence in broadcasting?
They're the me of TV.
You expect more on TV.
I do.
For Phoenix, but watch Brad Doughty. Says, not tonight. He tackles him. Kings do it again. They win 2-1. They're just one win from reaching the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, now they've reached it. And we don't,
or the World Series, whatever it's called.
And we certainly don't need you doing any more of the commentary. Oh, well, actually, we do. That would be quite funny. So you got that going
so
for
well
you.
Well done.
Well done, everybody. Kings are in the finals. It starts, I believe, next week. I think they have some time off because the Eastern Conference finals are going on. So I forgot to mention a minute ago that I have a post up at krock.com, kevinandbean.com, if you want to go there and see all of that local coverage of the hockey being
okay.
So bad.
Hey, do they have hockey in New Zealand, by the way?
I don't have an answer to that.
I wish there were somebody on the phone we could ask, maybe somebody from New Zealand that we could ask that question to. Hey, Jermaine Clement.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
It's been a very long time. It's so good to talk to you again. Hey, I was just wondering, do you guys have hockey in New Zealand?
When you say hockey, you're talking about ice hockey.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
What we call hockey is field hockey.
Ah, I gotcha.
But, and ice hockey, I've never really heard of people playing out there.
Yeah. New Zealand doesn't seem like a place that would be big for winter sports. I was just curious because it's big in so many parts around the world.
People stay inside and they don't really leave their houses.
That sounds great.
I have a lot of respect for that. Well, it's
rugby is the biggest winter sport.
That's the biggest sport. No kidding.
That's the biggest sport. Wow. Full stop. Yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy who put his thumb in that other guy's butt in that rugby game? Do you know?
I stopped calling him after that.
Yeah, you got to have a little self respect. You got to know when to walk away, Jermaine. I think you're right about that.
That became a verb.
Yeah, he opawadied him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we're so excited to talk to you. Men in Black 3 is coming out on Friday. It has been 10 years since the last Men in Black movies, and of course...
Yeah, it was almost the last millennium.
Yeah, that's right, the last millennium, right. You were a young man probably in the theater seeing Men in Black 2, having no idea that 10 years later you'd be the villain in the next one.
Yeah, no one told me.
Did you watch them? Did you care about it? Do you like sci-fi?
I really enjoyed those movies. Yep.
And how did you get involved in this one? They call you? You actively went after it?
The same people produced another movie I was in, and they asked me.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
And I said, well, I couldn't really turn it down.
Men in Black 3, let me think. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this Boris the Animal. You are the villain in the piece, and you've done a lot of TV and a lot of movies, but you've never had to go through anything like this. I've always wondered, how do you keep your head on when you have to sit there in a chair for what, like 4 hours a day to get made up like that?
Yeah,
what do you even do or think about in all that time?
Well, you kind of imagine. I mean, the first time, you're thinking, I can't do this every day.
Right.
I kind of have people gluing things to my face for 4 hours a day. But then by the end, it goes by really quickly and you get used to it. I think you get into a state where you just relax about
it. Can you sleep at all while they do it?
It's the most uncomfortable sleep you'll ever have because people are spraying glue and paint on your face and prodding you and sticking things onto you.
That happens to me, and I'm not in the movies.
Yeah, right.
This we've all seen by now. We've seen the trailer, and we've seen how freaky your character looks with the big, you know, buggy blue eyes or whatever. Can you see out of those things?
They did cut off a bit of peripheral vision, and at times I have to walk along these pipes and stuff, and.
So you know where you're going.
It's hard to see where I was going.
You ever walk? Yeah. You ever just walk into something? Bong!
Yeah. I've always got a safety harness on when I was up high. But also I had these boots on, which are about 3 or 4 inches. Because Will Smith is 6'3", and I'm 6'1", and they wanted me to be taller than him. So
sure.
I had to wear these massive heels.
Oh, I see.
So I'd be taller than him. And so I'm on these massive heels. Can hardly see with these glasses, but sometimes it helps. I'm trying to walk on these pipes, looking all cool, but my eyes are actually trying to look at the ground, and they probably look quite scared. So it's lucky I have them covered up.
This is the voice of Jermaine Clement here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his role in Men in Black 3, which opens everywhere Friday. It has to be tough to do any kind of real acting. I mean, you made a reference to it there, but I mean, you're so used to being able to use your face and everything, and you don't have those skills available.
Well, the prosthetic, it's made by It's designed by Rick Baker, who's done, you know, things right from the Star Wars cantina scene and a lot of big special effects movies.
Oh, you know, he did all the Men in Black.
Eddie Murphy plays five or six characters,
right?
So he knows how to make them so that they're very mobile, so you can actually express yourself wearing it, even though you've got this rubber thing and it still moves with your face.
That's cool.
I was a little worried that not having my eyes, but you know, sometimes it's scarier not to be able to see someone's eyes.
Did you have to work on using your hands a lot more than you normally do, or moving your head just more exaggerated?
This character only has one hand.
Okay. hand then?
He also fires lethal projectiles from them. So, yeah, I did have to use it. So that's sort of as a weapon.
One of the stories I heard, and I assume it's true, is that Danny Elfman, who does the music for this movie, is a huge Flight of the Conchords fan, but didn't even know until after he was done scoring the film that you were the guy in the suit. And I just think that's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm pretty well disguised.
Yeah, and so he had no idea that you were in that show until later?
Yeah, I don't think I would.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what else you want to tell us about it, Jermaine, before we have to go here? I mean, obviously, I said it's much anticipated, but it looks like just a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very fun, and there's lots of, you know, a bunch of clever jokes and a bunch of stupid jokes. And
sweet.
It's fun. It's really fun.
Great. Very excited. And very excited to catch up with you, man. We totally miss you. I hope you'll come back to America sometime.
It's been a while. Yeah, we'll have to come back.
Please do.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
The pit bull of comedy himself, Bobby Slayton, joins us next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralphs joins us now for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
People are still talking about Will Smith slapping that journalist in Moscow who tried to kiss him on the lips.
That's funny.
He showed up on the David Letterman show, Will did, talking about Men in Black 3, of course, and Letterman being Letterman could not resist getting deeper into the story of the red carpet in Moscow where the Ukrainian journalist tried to kiss Will Smith on the lips. Here was Will's explanation to Dave.
It's just awkward, Dave. They were like, oh, no, we're sorry, you know, it's just his shtick. You know? And I said, well, that's why his ass got stuck. Yeah.
See, he's stuck. Stick stuck.
I think Will came out relatively unscathed from this whole incident.
I do, too. Yeah.
Well, he makes a legitimate point, is you can't just walk up to somebody and kiss them on the mouth.
Yeah.
It's a shame, but it's against the law, pretty much.
It all depends.
Yeah.
I've done it, gotten away with it.
Yeah.
Britney Spears going to be the new judge on The X Factor.
Talking about J-Lo leaving American Idol, by the way. Simon Cowell said that he would consider returning to American Idol if Jennifer Lopez left.
What?
What?
Meaning he'd be on both?
He would be on two of the biggest singing reality competition shows in America.
Well, wouldn't they dump her in a second if that were true?
He said he would bring Katy Perry along for the ride, he says.
Yeah, they would dump Jennifer Lopez
for
that.
He's just joking.
I don't know. He said she's a huge fan of American Idol, and he's a huge fan of hers, and he said he would bring her on, too, if he was going to be on American Idol.
Didn't she help judge one time?
I think she did,
like a guest judge or
something? She was great, too, on it, by the way. Britney Spears being on The X Factor means not only does she have to make $15 million for a season's worth of work, but she has a contract, and, of course, that contract has an infamous rider attached to it. Someone got a hold of it. Look Magazine, apparently. And here is what is on her rider. She requires a beauty team.
Team?
A team which includes a personal manicurist, a facialist, and a massage therapist. She also gets 34 Hervé Léger dresses. 34.
Is that an expensive designer?
It is, and okay. I have no idea how many episodes she's doing, but it seems like that's more dresses than episodes.
34.
Maybe she'll have to change a couple of times.
Maybe she will.
And it also seems like you wouldn't want to wear something from the same designer every week on the show, too. It seems like you'd want to mix it up.
12 vases of magnolia blossoms in her dressing room every week.
Oh, for God's sakes.
She needs, let me see how many cases here. 6 cases of Diet Coke. containing 24 cans in each case, which must be replenished every week. She needs 10 pieces of chicken and 4 pints of potato salad.
All right.
Now we're talking.
At every episode, she needs 10 snack-sized bags of Doritos in her dressing room at all times and 12 Snickers bars. Oh, she's going to blow up right in front of us.
Wow.
Maybe can't those wait. Kind of dresses expand.
Yeah, maybe they're Spanx dresses. Yeah. That's why she likes them.
It is funny that... Like, the first 4 items on the list were Britney Spears' Hollywood Star, and then the last 4 were Britney Spears' Louisiana White Trash.
Yeah, White Trash, trailer, junk food junkie.
Love it.
I'm going to find that laugh clip, and I'm going to take it out, and it's going to go away.
That's a good clip.
I'm telling you, it's going to disappear. Not a good clip. Just some random chick laughing. Could
no,
be anybody.
You can tell us
that could be Mary Tyler Moore laughing. You wouldn't know.
It isn't. I can
but,
tell you.
But you don't know. But no one would
but
know.
You do.
There's got to be something else you can play for Britney Spears. Got to be.
How about this?
Britney huh? Spears. What about her?
Huh? What about that one?
No, that's dumb, too. Huh? I'm glad she's going to be an X Factor. Maybe you can sit through a couple episodes and collect some
oh,
new
I'm not
Britney
watch
Spears.
That.
Huh? Today's celebrity birthday, singer Jewel is 38 years old today. Maxwell celebrates his 39th
sorry,
birthday.
No bell for Jewel?
Sorry, I had my mic down. I did hit it. Ah. I had my mic down, though. Sorry.
Because you're not doing a radio show, so you turned your microphone off?
Sometimes I turn it down so that I don't make noise, that's all.
Matt Flynn of Maroon 5 is 42. Phil Selway of Radiohead is 45. Karen Duffy. The only thing you need in your profession to do your job is to have your microphone on.
Here's what I like is that Bean's ringing the bell, but only for himself.
That's right.
I didn't realize the mic was down. Sorry.
Phil Selway of Radiohead is 45. Karen Duffy, actress, model, and VJ is 51. Drew Carey. Funny comedian, also the host of The Price is Right, turns 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Here's an update on the story that we talked about last week, Queen Elizabeth's panties. I think we're giving it too much credit to call them panties. I doubt anything that the Queen is wearing are panties, really. They're more bloomers, I would think, right?
That's probably a diaper.
I don't see her in a super sexy getup for Prince Philip.
She is an ugly woman, first of all.
Well, she's not an ugly woman. She's an elderly woman. She's just elderly. She was
she's ugly.
Very pretty when she was young, Kevin.
B,
very pretty.
The royal family's stupid, let's be honest. Because if Prince Charles is next in line for anything, anywhere, that's ridiculous.
TMZ told us last week that this underwear that was up for sale went with Queen Elizabeth on a trip to Chile back in 1968. The undergarment was left on a private plane during the trip and was eventually taken back to the estate of Baron Joseph de Bisque d'Orbonal, who died in 2010. They sold it from his estate. So these are Queen Elizabeth's underwear from 1968. Somebody put up on eBay. It sold for $18,000.
Now,
there are a lot of people who collect royal memorabilia, and royal memorabilia is incredibly difficult to come across, particularly something that's been personally owned by a monarch. Very hard to find. They don't sell stuff like that.
Yeah, and stuff like that that's worn there, you don't need.
Jeez. Yeah, if the underwear was left on a plane, then they had to have been worn, right?
I would think
so.
Because
they didn't fall out of a bag.
I would think she doesn't have bags.
She was changing.
Yeah, ugh.
So now, those are worn underwear.
By the way, didn't we find out yesterday that they had somebody to she has a team of people dress her?
Yes.
So somebody must have forgotten the panties. I'm sure it wasn't her responsibility.
Yes, I'm sure she doesn't pack her own belongings on the plane as she goes on to the next country. Absolutely. Somebody goofed and left them behind.
We were talking about those people that must work for her. Like she has a person.
She has a team, yeah.
She has a person that wears it in her shoes before she wears them.
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's part of their job.
Yeah. Yes.
That breaks in her shoes. She can't wear her own shoes until they're broken in.
They might pinch. So, I don't want her limping during a royal
appearance. If I'm British and you're using my money for that, I'd be pissed.
She probably just got a maid that has the same shoe size. So while she cleans, wears the shoes.
It's part of her team that clothes her, and they have to wear in her shoes so that it's not the least bit uncomfortable
for her royal highness.
It's ridiculous.
You don't think it's a good idea?
No.
You wouldn't do that?
Of course not.
Well,
I
it's interesting.
Tennis shoes. Why would
it's
I?
It's interesting you should say that because we have somebody on the phone, producer Dave is telling me, who might disagree with your strong protest. Linus?
Hello. Hello, hello, Kevin and the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, the other one. Hello, the woman.
Hi, Linus.
Kevin's personal assistant, Linus.
Yes,
call it in.
I am the personal assistant of Kevin and the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't really have an assistant.
I heard you talking about people who assistants for celebrities who break things in for them. And I just thought it was hilarious, Kevin and Kevin and the Bean Show, since here I am right now. Here I'm breaking in your hair trimming scissors for your legs, so your leg hair trimming scissors. Kevin and the Kevin and the Bean Show does not like to use the leg hair trimming scissors unless someone else has already broken them in, so I'm just here.
That's interesting.
I have to use them about 400 times before he'll even touch them. He just wants to make sure they're nice and loose before he starts trimming the hair on his legs.
This is absurd.
Kevin.
What about
Kevin so strongly protesting that he would never have somebody break in his shoes, Linus?
Well,
you say
that. I've never broken in his shoes. I've never had to do that.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No. But he does give me a stack of $100 bills every day. And I need to break these $100 bills in before he uses them. He does not like to use fresh from the mint $100 bills. So I have to. I've got my work cut out for me today. I've got a whole stack of hundreds here that I have to break out.
And how are you doing that? What's the plan?
I just touch them and I crinkle them.
I see. All right.
The problem with Kevin the Bean Show is he plans to go to a strip club this weekend to celebrate the Kings winning and going to Stanley Cup. So he needs these hundreds ready to pull out of his pants because you know Kevin the Bean Show does not use a wallet in any situation. So these have to be loose, and they have to be able to be easily separated.
All right.
And also he makes me break in the strippers before he has a lap dance.
There's no way that's true.
Yeah, I have to put these ass gaskets on my lap, and then they have these strippers sit down to make sure they're nice and clean, and then Kevin and the Bean Show will have the strippers sit on his lap.
That's ridiculous.
I can't imagine how... what's
going on now? Have to break Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show's food in for him. He doesn't like to eat chew. He thinks it's too boring.
I don't like to eat?
He doesn't like to chew.
Oh, I don't like to chew.
So I used to have to pre-chew his food for him. I used to break in his food, but now I just use a blender so much easier, and I just add vodka to everything. So I make sure that he'll actually eat it.
Wait, so when Kevin comes home, his food is presented to him on a plate and it has already been chewed?
It's in a glass, really. It's not in a plate.
Oh, in a glass.
Anymore.
He drinks his meals. Okay, sure. That makes sense.
I just like to take a steak and some potatoes and some broccoli and then blend it with vodka. And he just brings it down and then.
Dare you.
And he stumbles towards something soft.
I can't imagine how exhausting your job is day to day because Kevin doesn't sleep, of course. So do you have to be up with him the 21 hours a day that he's up?
Well, he doesn't sleep. He passes out. So we just make sure it's something soft and him to land on at all times.
All right. Thank you.
Bobby Slayton.
Oh, boy.
The Pitbull of comedy has joined us, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Studio.
I cannot tell you guys. I've been traveling so much. What a thrill it is to come back to do your show. What's interesting is that May 25th, Friday is my birthday. Last year, I was here on my birthday. And I remember because I remember going by myself after doing your show. I was playing the Comedy Magic Club on a Friday night. And now, again, Friday is my birthday, and again, I'm playing the Comedy Magic Club. And the reason that works out on my birthday is, first of all, I'm too old to care about my birthday. I think all of us, don't you reach an age where, you know, women, you know, it's my birthday. And then when you ask them how old they are, well, I don't want to tell you. They stop telling people it's your birthday and stop looking for free drinks and gifts, okay?
My wife has a birthday month first, and then a birthday week, and then a birthday weekend.
Well, you don't know the last month what I've been in for. It started with Valentine's Day. Then it was my wife's birthday. Then it was Mother's Day, and now it's my birthday, which I don't care about.
Right.
But you see, here's what's really funny.
Do you book your birthday on purpose just to avoid?
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Every year it seems to me I'm playing. I want to be home this weekend. And it's not because I care about my birthday. Mm-hmm. But the reason I work is because if I sit home, then I just realize I'm in my 50s now. And it doesn't bother me being in my 50s. What bothers me is I'm married to a woman who's in her 50s. So that really drives the point home. So I figured, why sit at home with my wife and be miserable when I can go work? Now, originally, my agent booked me up for the year, and he had me in Dayton, Ohio. And even though I don't care about my birthday, I did know, in my heart of hearts, I don't want to spend my birthday in Dayton, Ohio. I've been to Dayton, Ohio, and you don't want to spend any time.
That's what I was going to say. Let's back up. You don't ever want to go there.
You don't really want to go to Dayton. Yeah. I mean, there's a nice club there called the Funny Bone. It's a lovely club. But for my birthday, so I booked myself at the Comedy Magic Club.
Hermosa Beach.
Yeah. And my wife says, in 2 weeks, I'll be in Irvine at the Improv. But my wife said to me, I want to get you something for your birthday. Now, I'm not one of the, I don't care about this.
Right.
Women say they don't care, but then they do care when you don't buy them something.
Right. Of course we do.
So it's a lie. It's a bold lie.
My wife's insisting she gets me something. And I said, okay, you know what? How about a little TV for my office? A little TV. She goes, you don't spend enough time in your office. You never talk to me. Now you want a little TV for your office. It gives you more reasons to stay in your office. I said, okay.
So she wants you to have something, just not something that you really like or want.
That's exactly right, Bean. And then I said, you know what? We watch a lot of TV. We don't have a Blu-ray player. They're not very expensive. Now, how about a Blu-ray player for the living room?
You $100
But the same thing. I give you more excuses to watch TV and watch movies and not talk to me. I said, well, you know, these are the things I want. And here's where the woman thing comes in. She says to me, and I'm sure you guys have heard this, I want to get you something you would never buy for yourself. Well, there it is, being you pretty much said it. If I wouldn't buy it for myself, what do I want it for? Why would you buy me something that I would never buy? What is the reasoning there? And my wife's one of the smartest women I know, and as women go. Yeah, I got to qualify it as a woman. For a woman.
And you too, Ellie Mae, you're brilliant. I may actually punch you.
Okay, but you know, people.
Not so much from you, Ellie Mae.
Okay, yeah, not so much from me. But okay, last night, I was, I like to drink a lot of wine. I'm a big wine drinker. Right. And I usually cook at night, and I drink a bottle of wine while I'm cooking, put on some blues, or maybe, you know, old Kevin and Bean tapes.
Sure.
And then with dinner, I'll maybe have another half a bottle. So when I'm home, it's a bottle and a half. Now, last night.
So you're lush, basically.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's really being a lush because I don't get.
It's a lot of wine per day, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's not
that
vodka.
May be why you're only in your 50s and you look like you do.
Well, I feel. Okay. Yeah. That's a Keith Richards compliment. That's fine with me. That's fine with me. But what's interesting is that last night, I do two bottles and I wait. I don't get drunk. My wife said, you know, you're drinking a lot. I said, look, I'm not one of those bad drunks where I get into fights, I throw up, I pass out, I punch a cop. And maybe that would be better because then all of a sudden you go, I'm drinking too much. But when you feel great and you're not slurring words, after two bottles of wine, and see, women can't.
It means you're an alcoholic.
No,
I think it does. I think your tolerance is so high now.
Why are you an alcoholic if there's no negative side effects?
Yeah, but that's
have we seen his liver?
No, the liver I had checked last year, the liver was perfect. Now, I'm knock on wood, but the point is that I wake up in the morning and I feel great, and then my wife will say to me, and she said this last night, you know, if you keep drinking like that, you're going to kill yourself. And I said, well, if I don't drink like this, I'm going to kill you. So one of us is not going to get out of this nightmare alive, okay? And I think women get mad and women get jealous because you can't drink. And I don't care how sane you think you are. When a woman drinks, it's like feeding Gizmo after midnight. You're insane. It's like putting a gremlin in water. You go from insane to intolerably insane. You know. So last night, my wife and I were watching a movie. This is what sums it up. And people ask me where I get my material. I like to be home when I'm home. I don't like to go out. I don't want to go to the Laugh Factory. I'll go to the Comedy Magic Club Friday night because I have a show.
Sure.
And of course, in 2 weeks in Irvine at the Improv. But I don't like to go out. So I like to watch TV, and my wife's got all this crap TiVo'd, you know? She watches all these home improvement shows and the America's Got Talent shows, and then she's got Bill Maher and the smart stuff. And so I said, you know, we've had TiVo you just keep TiVo and everything. We have Netflix. We don't use it anymore. We need to start watching old classic movies, and we've been doing that for the last month. So last night, we have a nice dinner. I'm drinking a glass of wine, and we turn on. You ever see On the Waterfront?
No. Okay. Of course. Okay. Yes.
Really? You've never seen that? Kev?
No.
1954. Elijah Kazan.
Let's not even start with
I haven't really seen a lot of old movies. Okay, Kevin hates everything that happened before about 1995.
Well, he's like my daughter, because my daughter can't imagine watching a movie that's either not color or not 3D.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand how we lived before cell phones.
I'm
it was like
daughter.
The V2 blitz on London. She doesn't understand how we got through life in covered wagons. We ate each other in the Donner Pass. It was mind-boggling. And if you think about it, living with cell phones is kind of crazy. But so anyway, I'm turning my wife onto all these great old movies. And last night, On the Waterfront, Marlon Brando. And the reason you should watch this movie, there's some magnificent scenes. And there's one scene, and I'm not really a romantic guy, but there's a scene when he breaks into Eva St. Marie's apartment, and he grabs her, and he starts to kiss her. This passion, and she's fighting him. But you can see once he starts kissing her, she's crazy about him. He's crazy about her. It's lusty. It's passionate. And they sink into a pile of love. And my wife says to me, you know, that's date rape. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I have no words for this. That's date rape. It's, and I'm looking at my wife thinking, how could you turn murder into manslaughter and just get away with 5 to 10 years? How do you, never mind date rape. I want to kill this woman and I love her. She's insane. And she wasn't even drinking.
And you're thinking that she would watch that and go, oh, that's so sweet. That's so romantic.
Yes, yes.
I feel so close to you. I'm sitting here with my husband and I love watching this beautiful scene. Yeah. And the opposite of that happened.
No, and I'm not making up. That's date rape. But it wasn't date rape. No, I can't.
She gave in at some point, right? She
exactly.
said yes.
Well, he overpowered her. What could she do?
No, but she wanted it. She wanted it bad.
I think my wife was just reminiscing over our honeymoon. And you know, that was kind of date rape. But
Bobby Slayton is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach is going to be Friday night. Go out and celebrate Bobby's birthday with him. Tickets available at comedyandmagicclub.com for just $25. Irvine Improv with a weekend starting June 14th on a Thursday, by the way. You're going to be there all weekend long. And when we come back, Bobby, we have to ask why you need a partner to do a podcast.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started with that. Okay.
Why on earth would anyone agree to do a podcast with you so they can sit there and listen to you for 2 hours?
Yeah, you know, well, we have some commercials to play, Bean. When we get back, we got some bills to pay. I'll get back down that way. We'll be right back after this.
The editor-in-chief of Maxim magazine, Dan Bova, joins us in about 30 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to fire him, I've decided. If Kate Upton is not in the top 20 of the hottest chicks in the world right now, then he shouldn't be running Maxim magazine. So yeah, his last appearance on our show coming up. First, though, Bobby Slayton in studio with us right now. He's performing at the Comedy and Magic Club on his birthday in Hermosa Beach this Friday night.
He'll act like he doesn't like it, but sing happy birthday to him like after after every joke. He really loves it deep inside.
Well, I don't think Bean was finished in the 2 weeks of the Irvine Improv.
Yes, that's correct. June 14th through the 17th at the Irvine Improv. Tickets for that one at IrvineImprov.com.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And Bobby, you have a podcast.
Everybody
Tuesdays
has a podcast.
At noon, everybody has a podcast, I know, especially every comedian these days. Tuesdays at noon, you do it live from Toad Hop Network, which is a really kind of an up-and-coming network of lots of different podcasts, including our friend Brad Williams, Funny Brad. What's the deal? Why are you doing a podcast?
Out of the John Lovitz Theater in Universal City. But here's what. First of all, 10 years ago, I don't want to bore people with the details, but 10 years ago, there was something called Comedy World, which was the first, I don't know if you guys remember.
I do remember.
They paid me, they paid the late Ken Ober, they paid Greg Berendt, I guess he's not into you, and they paid about Craig Shoemaker, well over $250,000 to do a two-hour internet radio show. It was the groundbreaking internet, the beginning of podcasts. The problem was, 10 years ago, is nobody listened to radio on the internet. Now everybody can listen to you guys. They can listen to, you have Sirius Satellite. You had so much stuff out there, TV, radio. But back then, so they were paying us a lot of money, and of course they went bankrupt in a year. But I spent a year of my life, and it was only an hour or two a day. And what's really difficult is when you're talking and you try to take phone calls, but when nobody's listening, and there's no sponsors, because nobody's buying any airtime. So they went under. And when this whole podcast thing began big with Mark Maron and then Greg Fitzsimmons and a million comics, I said, you know what? No, this stuff's not going anywhere. But the time I thought of doing one, everybody's got a podcast. There's millions and millions of podcasts. So anyway, the Toad Hop Network, John Lovitz, who owns the theater, I guess he does a podcast with Kevin Smith when that whole Obama rant came out a few months ago. But then he said to me, I'd like to do a podcast with you. It's 1 hour a week. And John Lovitz is pretty famous. And he says, we do a podcast together. Then maybe we can take it on the road. And then we could both do stand-up.
Right.
And we can make a lot of money. And again, I'm playing place like Dayton, Ohio. I'll do anything. Not to go back to Dayton, Ohio or Peoria, Illinois. They're great places if you're stuck in the airport for a half an hour. But I don't want to be there. I'd rather be in Amish country. So I said to Lovitz, fine, let's do it. And we've been doing it for a couple of months.
Does Lovitz ever say a word? Because...
Okay.
I know how we prepare for when you come in.
Right.
And that's just we get a half hour off.
Right. Well, it totally works different with Lovitz. If you listen to this train wreck on the Toad Hop Network, the unfortunate thing about them is if you guys have a crappy show, they're pretty much, we'll do better tomorrow. But this thing, it's there forever.
Nah.
And people can watch this forever. The first couple of shows, I really try to take over the show, because if you let John talk, it would be, Bobby Slayton's gay. Bobby Slayton is gay. Ralph does a better impression. Now, it's either the nutty John Lovitz, or you get the anti-Obama, right-wing Dennis Miller, Nazi Jew, like two words you don't use together very often.
Right.
So either he's ranting and raving about the administration and about capital gains, or Bobby Slayton's gay. So I got to talk twice as fast as I do on your show.
To make sure he doesn't get a word in edgewise.
Well, it's impossible, because last week I'm talking about, I just watched a show on HBO, The Weight of the Nation, about, overweight people.
Right.
And I had a whole thing prepared about fat people, because I just did a special. I'm not sure if Showtime or Comedy Central will pick it up yet, but I just taped it. And there was a whole thing about fat people, and I was thinking about cutting it out. And because it goes on for like an hour and a half. And I mentioned it to John.
Had an hour and a half rant on fat people?
No, just a whole special.
I would love to see that.
I see. But I'm thinking about cutting the fat, because I did fat people jokes on my last special. And I'm watching this show, and I'm feeling bad for fat people. And I had a whole bit planned for the show. And John went on for 20 minutes talking about the history of corn syrup and why people are fat. So if I let him get a word in, it's the history of corn syrup. And now I'm afraid to let him talk, because then he'll get into Splenda and fructose and hydrogen and oils. And I don't know where he's going to go. Back to Obama. Bobby Slayton's gay. So I really try to stay on top of it.
So are you enjoying the podcast, or is it so stressful for you to try to stop John Lovitz from talking that you can't even get into it?
Well, I look at the bright side. It's only an hour a week. And I think we could take it on the road. John is a good comic.
He's hilarious, by the way.
He's very hilarious.
He's a really funny guy.
Very, very funny guy.
His pacing, though, is completely the opposite of yours.
Which is why I think you and Bean kind of get along.
We sort of both kind of talk fast and keep things moving.
That's true. But you both have something to say in your own retarded way. Do I know how to give a compliment and then take it back? You bet I do. You bet I do. I'm not good with the compliments. Last week I'm in Washington, D.C., and this young lady opened up for me. She was really funny. She'd only been doing stand-up for 2 years. And, you know, and I'd say, keep it going for Jessica. You know, somebody doing this for 2 years, she's great. Now, if she was doing that material after 10 years, I'd say she sucks. If she was doing that crap for 20 years, I think she's retarded.
Right.
But for 2 years, so that's the closest I can get to a compliment.
Oh,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
I try to be nice. It's just so against my nature.
You know? Would you ever advise anyone take up comedy as a living?
Well, you know what? So many people doing it. You know, it's amazing how many people are doing it and how many people are bad at it and how many people have these demands. You know, earlier when you guys were talking about Britney Spears,
and
you know,
demands,
and it's so funny because you see these celebrity writers where they need all the dresses. And then again, like you guys pointed out, and then again, the white trash seeps out when she needs the Snickers bars and the little bags of Doritos.
Right.
Okay. I see that also with the urban acts. You know, they become so ghetto that it doesn't matter how sophisticated they become. You know, the rappers, but even comedy clubs. I started collecting writers because I have a book that I'm doing. Next, when I see you guys next year for my birthday, this book is going to – I'm going to blow up all the bridges I haven't burned yet.
Okay, good.
And everybody has a book, but nobody is really – the inside – there's just a lot of stuff about comedy. And I think it's going to be good.
That sounds interesting.
I think it's going to be amazing. But I thought my last special was amazing. And I thought I think a lot of things I do are amazing. And it just seems like I might be right, but nobody seems to agree with me. But anyway, so I'm collecting these writers. And I think Damon Wayans had – you know, when he plays a comedy club, you know, he needs this giant mobile home out in front of the club. Which I think is the same writer he probably gets when he plays movies. And I think what agents do is I think they're just putting stuff in there to see what they can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need pony rides for my children. And then when you take this out, then the 12 Snickers bars don't seem so outrageous. I think it was Monique, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Monique was playing a club in Florida, and they either give her a white limo or a black limo. The limo was the wrong color to go to morning radio, and she wouldn't get in it.
The limo was the wrong color.
And I'm 90% sure it was her. It was some black woman. I don't know who. Eddie Griffin. There's another guy who's a funny guy. His rider, and this is simple, but every week he plays a comedy club. He needs a pair of certain pair of Nikes that cost $140, size 11 or whatever size he wears.
Right.
Every week, and he does well in the clubs, and he draws, and every week he gets
so he
his
gets
pair,
brand new
he
shoes
gets
to
his
wear
brand new
for
pair
his
of Nikes.
Guy?
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, so I asked some club owner, "Why do you do this?" And they asked Eddie. He goes, "Well, I give them to charity." Really? Well, how come they're size 11? Is it the same kid? It doesn't happen to be you, is it? Coincidence? I mean, just outrageous crap that these people ask for.
Do you have anything in your rider, Bobby?
You know what? My rider, you know what it is? It's a standard rider. Yeah, I need a microphone. And I need a ride from
and
the airport.
A bottle
and
water.
Maybe some water.
I'm a lot like...
or wine.
I'm like Springsteen or Leno. I'm a working man's, you know, blue-collar kind of guy.
I'm not sure you're like Springsteen.
Or Leno. I'm not making any money. And they would never get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and drive here to do your show. But in other ways.
No one would want them to.
No, but I, you know...
So
I
you're low maintenance.
You know what? I want a few free drinks. I need my cocktails. And, you know... And, you know, some comics headliners won't even let the openers in the dressing room. You know, it's, do whatever you want. I don't care. I'm just there to tell my jokes. I'm just there to tell my jokes.
I want to read your behind the scenes on comedians because it does seem like a pretty screwed up bunch.
Oh, this
that we don't hear much about.
Yeah.
I got a chapter on how I got into a fight with Journey at the Barry Music Awards. I have a chapter about how Alice Cooper saved my life. I have a chapter about when I was 20 years old, I traveled across the country with a robot doing kids, a real robot. And with
doing
psycho,
kids what?
I doing kids.
Just doing kids. Kids, Kevin.
Doing kids,
you
party.
Said doing
kids TV shows. We've been Bozo, all these. Oh my God.
I
was hoping there was something after doing kids. Yeah.
Yeah, no, more than just doing kids.
But that sounds like an awesome.
I should have finished that sentence.
That's what I was trying to.
Sometimes I even run out of breath.
All right, well, we have to leave it there.
All right.
Robbie Slayton is at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. That's going to be Friday night at 8 o'clock. Tickets are just $25. ComedyandMagicClub.com is where you want to go. And then starting June 14th at the Irvine Improv, go see Bobby Slayton for only $20 at the IrvineImprov.com.
Wow. Those shows aren't going to be as good, though, right? Because they're only $20.
Well, you know what it is? I have a great opening act on both shows. A guy named Robert Duchesne, great, great comic. And the Comedy and Magic Club, there's always special surprise guest stars. Last time I was there was Paul Reiser. You never know who's going to pop in for that $5.
All right.
And then the podcast, Lovitz and Slayton, is Tuesdays at noon. It streams live through the Toad Hop Network, and you can also see it afterwards or get it afterwards for free at iTunes. Bobby,
Thank you.
You're the best, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
A word about the Neon Trees, by the way. Their new record is called Picture Show, and it is great. And you can see them live in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock next Thursday. That's a week from tomorrow at 1 p.m. Thursday, May 31st. Neon Trees performing live here at K-Rock. You can watch that at krock.com. And... you should. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I have tickets to give away to our special advanced screening of a movie called High School.
Yay!
Happening on Wednesday, May the 30th. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday the June 1st, but you'll see it a couple days before anybody else. If you're one of our lucky callers, it's the story of a
A valedictorian who's in trouble because his principal announces a school-wide mandatory drug test. And he's just, for the first time, trying pot. But if he gets busted, it's going to ruin his chances to go to college and have the life that he wants. So he and his stoner friend decide to skew the test by getting everyone in the school stoned, including the faculty, by loading up some bake sale brownies with pot. And chaos ensues.
The Bible's against it. God's against it. No. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
God created it. How can he be against it, sir?
Well, can't argue with him. He knows.
Adrian Brody, Michael Chiklis, Colin Hanks, all star in High School, the movie. If you'd like to go, first three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. You get a pair of passes. You get to go see High School. High School.
Yeah, we get it.
I don't think you get it.
I think
it's the high school.
Right.
It's a high school.
Right.
But it's also a high school.
They're all in high school.
But it's also ends up being a
two different
high
things.
School.
Yes. Now it makes sense.
How low do you think Kevin was every day when he went to high school?
How low?
Loaded.
Oh, loaded.
Yeah.
I don't think he was. I think Kevin came to his bad habits, those bad habits, later in life.
Really?
I do. I don't see Kevin, like, smoking out in the 7-Eleven parking lot as a teenager.
I think he was drunk and stoned every day of his life.
I think he was under the thumb of his conservative parents.
He's right here. From, like, 13 on, I think he was just a mess. Just constantly.
Give him the breathalyzer!
He did set a lot of things on fire. Yes. That's true.
I did set a lot of fire.
You don't do that sober.
I was a pyromaniac.
Bad news. Yesterday, Michael McKean from Spinal Tap played David St. Hubbins, of course, in that movie. Also, he was Lenny of Lenny and Squiggy and Laverne and Shirley. A Broadway actor, just a super talented guy, hit by a car yesterday in Manhattan. It happened at 86th and Broadway. The police pictures are just brutal. He was pretty badly hurt. It broke his leg and was banged up pretty good. Went through the windshield of an oncoming car that ran into him. Police say Michael is in stable condition. I was just looking online for more information, and apparently he's been upgraded to good condition. So it looks like he's going to be fine. But scary moments yesterday.
Very scary.
A great actor and a really nice guy. And funny guy on Twitter, too, if you follow him at all. He's a very, very funny guy.
He's been in on this show a couple of times over the years, and we love having him. And I think, Lisa, he's in New York because he's on Broadway right now in something.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
he's
that.
He's doing The Best Man. Gore Vidal is The Best Man.
Okay.
It's the first time he's missed a performance in a Broadway show, and he's done tons of Broadway shows
ever in his
career. It's the first time he's ever missed a curtain because of this accident. His wife, the lovely and talented Annette O'Toole, has flown from Los Angeles to be by his side. So they're expecting him to make a full recovery, but scary moments yesterday. And I just wanted to give him a shout-out because he's one of my heroes. I mean, his work with Chris Guest in all those films. If you've seen any of the Chris Guest movies.
Genius.
Not just Spinal Tap, but also Best in Show. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Just great, great work. That whole company of people. But McKean, a brilliant improviser and was in comedy long before he ended up on Laverne and Shirley and doing stuff like that. So, good guy, and I hope he heals quickly. Kelly Clarkson has got a new show coming on, that Duets. It's a singing competition show, which I think is a novel idea for television.
On television? They're going to have people sing and try to win?
But they won't just be singing alone. They will be doing duets.
Hmm.
With the judges / mentors on Duets.
Oh,
Robin
so they
Thicke,
sing with the
Robin
judges.
Robin Thicke and herself. And two other people that I have no interest in watching on television will be on Duets. But the reason I bring up the story, I thought this was interesting and is often the case. She said she is suffering these days from severe writer's block, having a hard time writing any songs and working on her career because, why? She's happy.
She's happy?
Yeah, she's in love. She's got a boyfriend named Brandon Blackstock. They've been dating for some time, and she says her writing has been taking a beating because she's known for her tough songs. You Screwed Me Over, You Broke My Heart, Go to Hell.
That guy's ruining her career by making her happy.
All these tough power ballads she does with that big voice of hers. She says every time she tries to write a new song, it comes out in her, quote, butterflies and rainbows. Romance is ruining my creativity, she said.
This is our fear with Adele, is God forbid she get a boyfriend, right?
That
works out.
Sometimes misery is your best writing partner when you're a creative person. And she says,
have you seen Kelly Clarkson on the TV lately? Have you seen how much weight she's lost, Ralph?
No, I have not.
She's dropped like 50 pounds. It's insane how good she looks now.
Wow. That's great. And while talking about love, Matt LeBlanc It's announced it's starring in a new movie called Lovesick. Lisa May is buying her tickets as I announced this.
That's the word love in it.
Here's the premise. He's a guy who's got everything in his life except for a woman. Because the problem is, every time he falls in love, he goes clinically insane.
What happened now?
What? Yes. Clinically insane.
It's clinical. It's an actual medical condition that when he falls in love, he goes insane.
No.
So he meets the perfect girl, but he has to overcome his psychosis in order to get a chance at true love.
Huh.
Oh, this sounds wacky because he's clinically insane.
No.
It's but how is he going to find
love? Nine.
Yeah. No word on who was playing the girl.
No.
No. No.
Sure. Jessica, Sarah Jessica Parker's waiting by the phone.
Or Katherine Heigl.
Katherine Heigl. They're all just sitting. Kate Hudson's like, where's my agent? Get him on the phone. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jewel is 38 years old today. Singer Maxwell turns 39. Matt Flynn of Maroon 5 is 42 years old. I think Kevin was the other day.
I
was talking about Maroon 5 with us.
I remember that.
Forget what
at
he was
all.
Asking us to do. We wanted us to give something to Maroon 5. I forget what it was. Was it give them attention, respect?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
That's right. It was love. He wanted us to give some love to Maroon 5. Phil Selway of Radiohead's 45. Karen Duffy, a former MTV VJ, actress and models, 51. She was real sick for a while, apparently, but she's doing much better. And Drew Carey celebrates his 54th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Dan Bova. Dan Bova, editor-in-chief, Maxim Magazine. The nerve you have coming on this show, my friend.
Good morning. What's up?
Good morning. Dan, Maxim Magazine is out with their Hot 100 list for 2012. How's
it
that
is?
Going?
What?
Yes. I read all about it. The June 2012 issue is out, and these are the hottest 100 women in the world, and I know we have you on every season to talk about this, and it's our favorite issue, but explain for folks who maybe don't know what the criteria are that you use to make your list.
We every year, we reach out and find the most beautiful women in entertainment, sports, movies, music, anything you can think of. We start off with this list of thousands of people, and we painstakingly go through photo after photo and photo after photo,
sure.
And we narrow it down to the hottest 100 women in the world. And then
you shuffle the deck and put them in order that way?
Then there is a lot of screaming at each other about who gets ranked where.
Is there any kind of behind-the-scenes secret that you're willing to share with us that that ends up making it possible that somebody like Kate Upton is at number 39? Like, how does that happen? There have to be people in the room who go, guys, shouldn't she be way higher? What do you say to those people?
Well, first I tell everyone to keep their pants on. That is one rule.
Too late,
of the
Dan.
Voting
we should have
room.
Talked to you 2 hours ago.
So wait, I'm picking up a vibe here. You are unhappy with the placement of Kate Upton in this issue.
I think you put people in certain positions just to get talk? Because there's no possible way you could look at the world of hot chicks and say Kate Upton has not been number one, at least top 10. You don't have her till 39. You are fired, sir, from doing this list. Fired.
Well, part of our mission, you know, Kate obviously had a pretty incredible year. People had seen her on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She's done other magazines, other things. She's been out there a lot. So part of the thing that we're trying to do is also say, okay, Kate had her moment. We know her. We love her. She's gorgeous. But here's some other people that maybe you hadn't thought about, maybe some surprises. You know, keep people guessing and keep you angry.
Yeah.
That is our mission.
Well, she's 39. That's absurd.
Yeah. But let me just bring up one other thing, and this is even more ridiculous.
Egregious.
Number 15.
Okay.
Is Kristen Stewart.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying that she, Kristen Stewart, is hotter than Charlize Theron, Scarlett Johansson, Jessica Biel, Eva Mendez, Candace Swanepoel, however you say her name, Jessica Alba, Alicia Cuthbert, Yvonne Strahovski, Sarah Shahi, and Kate Upton. You're saying that Kristen Stewart is hotter than all of those people.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Is it too late to reprint?
Yes. Okay, we're going to pull all the issues.
All right.
Now, I stand behind this list.
How does Kristen Stewart make the top 100?
How did she make it? Well,
yes.
I'm gonna fill you in on one other little thing that we did a little bit differently this year.
Ah.
Usually, this is purely the Maxim editors choosing the people, choosing the rankings. This year, because every year, like right now, people get so mad at us, we opened it up to online voting, and millions of people cast votes for where they thought, for who they thought should be in the rating and how high on the list.
It's a giant deflection. A giant deflection to the fans.
What you're saying is there are a lot of twitards out there who love Kristen Stewart and they want to vote for their girl, basically.
You don't like sparkly vampires? What's wrong with you?
She's not hot.
She's
gorgeous. You people are crazy.
Picture of her, she looks bored. In your top 100. All right, let's talk about the top 10, because the top 10 is not bad at all. I mean, it's hard to argue with Bar Rafaela at number one.
It certainly is.
She's unbelievable.
She's amazing. Yes.
Number two is Olivia Munn.
Yes.
I didn't have much problem with that. I mean, she's a little higher than I might put on my personal list, but obviously it's a subjective list. But there were some people here around the radio station who really thought you oversold Olivia Munn this year.
Really? Olivia Munn, I love Olivia Munn.
Well, I do too. I do too.
But the thing that we love about Olivia is not just what she looks like. Obviously, she is totally gorgeous. But she's just such a Maxim girl. She's really funny.
I hear you.
You know, everything she does on TV and stuff is crazy. When there's stuff about her on the press, you know, she doesn't, like, run away from it. She embraces it. She has a lot of fun with it.
You know,
I'm a total package kind of guy, too. Someone is hotter if you – like, Charlize Theron is one of the most beautiful women in the world. But knowing her as we have come to over the last few years and knowing her personality and her sense of humor makes her even hotter.
Right.
Everything that you said about Olivia Munn is the opposite of Kristen Stewart. All right, let's move on. Number three is Mila Kunis. Fine.
Beautiful.
Number
fantastic.
Four is Katy Perry. Fine. Number five,
excellent.
Olivia Wilde. Good. Number six, Jennifer Lawrence. Probably wasn't even on the list last year, was she?
She's been on the list, yeah.
Has she been? Okay.
But, you know, obviously Hunger Games sort of catapulted her up the list a bit.
And she cleans up real good, doesn't she?
Yeah, she certainly does.
Number seven is Emma Stone. That's a bit of a surprise, but we kind of like her.
Yeah, a lot.
Definitely. That's the total package thing going again.
Again, a total package thing. And also, again, you know, every year, you know, people are out there. People are making movies. People are doing stuff. You know, different people deserve different rankings every year, and we don't want to just keep rehashing the same people over and over again.
No, you're right. And she cut through. She made a huge impact this year. I think, you know, this past 12 months is when movie fans know her name now when they see her come up on the screen. She's definitely broken through, and she's adorable.
And she's got Spider-Man coming out, and I think this was the year that Jim Carrey went so crazy that he proposed marriage to her over Twitter,
right.
I believe.
Right.
So,
number eight, Megan Fox, fantastic. Number nine, Malin Ackerman, I Want to Be the Ape in the Picture. And number 10, Adrienne Palicki.
Oh, she's so great.
All good.
Her so much.
And
all right.
That is one thing I wanted to mention to everyone. When you buy this on the newsstand, there is a whole other issue in that black bag. The June issue.
Is.
Adrienne Palicki is on the cover of that issue. So you're getting two for one, people. We're giving it away.
Deal. All right, I have to ask you about a couple others that I have to find out how they got on the list. Stephen Colbert, that's pretty obvious. We know that he basically said to his viewers on the Comedy Central show, vote for me, and I think it's awesome that you put him on the list. I'm willing to give up a slot for comedy because Stephen Colbert deserves it.
All right.
How did Amanda Knox, celebrated baby killer, end up – excuse me, acquitted baby killer? She was the Italian – kill the sex party guy, right?
She did not.
She was acquitted.
She was acquitted.
Yes.
The only thing.
How did she end up on this list, though? Because people just like dangerous women, or what?
The only thing she's guilty of is stealing my heart.
Oh man, are you corny?
Oh, my God.
Look,
I thought I thought she was hot for an American on trial for murder in Italy. I thought for that category, she's maybe the hottest ever.
In that category, she was the hottest.
But
I mean, when you looked at her, you thought, did she do it, and will she do me? That's exactly what I'm thinking.
But the fact that she's hotter than Kat Dennings, come on, Dan. We all know what we're talking about here. And finally, tell me about Lois Griffith.
Griffin
from Family Guy at number 85.
I mean, we all see her in the button-down outfit on the show, but, you know, everyone's got to wonder, especially Quagmire, what's underneath it. And we got to see it.
Oh, Quagmire knows.
It is an outstanding list. It will cause much controversy where you work. Maxim magazine, as Dan explains, you get 2 for 1 when you buy this week's this month's issue. The June 2012 is out now with the Maxim Hot 100. Editor-in-chief, I don't know, should we give him another shot? Should we let him keep his job?
He can keep his job, but he doesn't get to helm next year's Top 100. That is our job now.
All right, okay. We're going to put you guys on the board next year.
All right, we'll take it. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
If it's happened to me one time, it's happened to me 1,000 times, where somebody will come up to me on the street and they'll say, Ryan Gosling? And I'll have to say, no, sorry, I know, I get that a lot, but there's nothing I can do.
It's true. If it's happened to you once, it's happened a million.
That is, it hasn't happened to you once. And that is, that's the burden you have to carry with you if you look like a celebrity. If you're lucky enough, for instance, in my case, look like a celebrity. Not so good, perhaps, for this young woman that Ralph talked about in the news the other day. She was at a place called Rockfest in Kansas City, which I think must be some sort of outdoor music festival. Festival or something like that. And she basically got the crap beaten out of her by somebody who thought she was Snooki.
Can you imagine?
Really?
First of all, you look like Snooki. That's enough of a problem.
Yeah.
Second of all, they think you are Snooki so much that they beat you up.
They kicked you.
And I was thinking, I doubt very seriously that she was trying to look like Snooki. I just think Snooki looks like a million other girls from New Jersey. I just think there's a look. That's how they dress. That's the makeup they wear. That's the hat they wear. Right. That's the way they talk. That's the way they drink. And I think that there's probably a lot of people out there who look like Snooki. But this was the wrong place, wrong time to be the girl who looked like Snooki. That's for sure.
That's crazy. We wanted to take some calls if you get mistaken for a celebrity. You look like somebody, like Brad Smith. Mm. No, Brad, Funny Brad.
Brad Williams.
Brad Williams, thank you. He looks just like Wee Man. And I mean,
I thought he wasn't going to come up with that.
I wasn't helping.
I'm not exaggerating when I say I've been with him, you know, and a half hour period, 15 people.
Really?
Will come up to him and say, can I get your autograph? Wee Man. Hey, Wee Man.
That's rough.
In that small amount of time. I mean, he really does look very, very much like him and handles it well considering how much it happens.
Yeah.
I think that would be a tremendous drag. Even for a regular person, and again, we're taking your calls. If you've been mistaken for a celebrity, 1-800-520-1067. For a regular person, I think it'd be a tremendous drag. But if you're actually a celebrity, like Chad Smith, for instance, perfect example, Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know that people come up to him, and I know he must hate this, and they go, oh, you're Will Ferrell, because he's famous and a celebrity for doing something else, and he's great at it, and he deserves to be recognized for being Chad Smith. Yet he's not Will Ferrell, so he has to deal with that all the time. What kind of a drag must that be?
A lot of times, though, he has Will Ferrell hair.
So you know, it's his fault.
No, I don't know, but I'm saying if I look just like somebody, I would change something.
Right.
I would change something.
Like Brad should get taller.
Exactly.
It's on him.
It's on him. You're right.
That's a great point, Lisa. I think he should, too. So we're going to take your calls. Let's do one before the break, and this is going to be the beautiful Sophia. And I say beautiful because of who she says she gets mistaken for all the time. But if you want to call us, it's 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories if you were mistaken for a celebrity. Hi, Sophia.
Hi. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I get mistaken for Dita Von Teese and Katy Perry. All the time.
Wow.
I love you so much. Tell me more.
Just everywhere. This actually happened the other day. I was at like a Trader Joe's and there was this guy with these two girls and he was like, oh my God, is that Dita Von Teese? And the girl got so pissed. She was like, no, that's not her.
You should have said, hi, I'm Dita.
Right? Now, and what's so crazy too is that I'm also a burlesque performer. It's really hard to, you know, people think I want to look like her or I want to be like her, which would be awesome.
Right.
But, you know, it's just the black hair and the white skin.
Sure.
How about Katy Perry? Because she doesn't seem like somebody that I ever see just kind of dressed down. She always seems to be wearing some wacky outfit. How about with you?
It's so weird. I get mistaken for Katy Perry all the time at Disneyland.
At Disneyland?
At Disneyland. I don't know what that's all about. I don't really wear anything too wacky. It's just, I don't know. They're always just like, are you Katy Perry? Oh, my God, you look like Katy Perry. And it's always at Disneyland.
Have you ever signed an autograph as Katy Perry?
No. I would never do
What's
that.
What's the downside? Make them happy.
Oh, my goodness, no. I would never do that. That's okay. Horrible.
I'm glad you called. Thank you for your story. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye now.
Wow, we got some great celebrity doppelgangers on the phone right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next right after this on the Kevin.
Thank you, producer Carlos Mencia.
No, that's Dave the King of Mexico. They just look alike.
Oh.
No, that's we're talking about celebrities that you look like. People stop you and go, hey, aren't you? At 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, we got some good ones here. Let's find out what Josh's life is like to get us going. Here is on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll try to take as many of these calls as we can. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What celebrity are you mistaken for?
I get mistaken a lot for James Vanderbeek Dawson from Dawson's Creek.
And what's that
I know.
That's not good.
It was horrible. You know, it's mostly by black people. I know all white people look the same already. Black people, but I used to go to this theater all the time. And this one usher guy, he would always go, hey, saw your movie. Hey, good to see you, all this stuff. And he's like, hey, can I get your autograph? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I just gave James Vanderbeek autograph.
You wrote James Vanderbeek?
Yeah,
how big is your head,
dude? It's huge, but it matches my chin, so it all balances out.
Oh, good.
There you go. Good times. Hey, at least James Vanderbeek has a new show on. At least he's starring on a network sitcom again, so it's going to start all over again for people who might have forgotten him. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Brody. He may even have it worse on line 6. Brody, thank you for calling. What celebrity do you look like?
Unfortunately, Dane Cook.
Oh, dude. Sweet. When you say unfortunately, that means you don't like him. That makes it worse.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with him, but Dane Cook fans are the worst.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, I mean, they almost get mad at me when they find out I'm not him.
So everywhere you go, they yell at you, Semper Fi, and the whole deal, right?
Yeah. Or they want me to do the super flip or take a picture. It's just not even cool.
Yeah.
And the more drunk they are, the more obnoxious they get.
Well, that's true in general.
Yeah, and every one of them thinks it's the first time. Hey, do you know you look like Dane Cook? And they're so excited about it.
Yeah, that does suck. What about what Kevin said when we were talking about Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers and he looks like Will Ferrell? Is there something you could do to not look so much like Dane Cook, like the hairstyle or something?
Well, you know, it's not that if you put a picture of us next to each other, we don't look exactly alike. It's just when I'm out, people think I am him.
I got you.
And they're mad when they find out I'm not.
That's nice. It's a nice touch that they get mad at you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's talk to, we got some great calls. Kai is on line 2. He's got troubles, too. Kai, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What celebrity do you look like?
Guy Fieri.
I don't know who that is.
The guy from the Cooking Channel?
He's the guy with the bleach blonde hair. He does that diner show where he goes around the country eating all the crappy foods.
Exactly. Does he have, like, a catchphrase or something?
He's kind of a big guy, right?
Show where you're in a minute to win it. Remember that show?
Yeah, he was the host of Minute to Win It also.
I know who you're talking about. Exactly. All right.
And you say... why I barbecue in front of 1,000 people either.
Why do you do that? So you work in a restaurant also?
No. I live in a small rural town. We do a lot of barbecuing here in Southern California. And when rodeo season comes around, we all kind of gather around and do that. And everybody walks up and says, hey, are you that guy? And it doesn't help that my name's Kai. So I look and go, yeah, I'm Kai.
Yeah, good.
And then they roll up on me and they're like, well, you cook. You're the guy from the Cooking Channel. I go, well, you know, you can come over here and help me rub my meat if you want.
Oh, sweet.
He's got a whole act.
Nice.
Thank you, Kai. All right, let's get into the people who may just be bragging, all right? Let's start with, is it Panji? Panji on line 3, I think, is up next. Hi, Panji. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
Hello, Panji.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
She was there.
Yeah. Okay. Are you asking for Tanvi?
Whatever your name is.
I'm sorry. Says Panji up here. If they wrote it wrong, I apologize.
I'm sorry. We don't
know. No, that's all right.
Okay.
I get mistaken for Frida Pinto all the time.
Oh, you poor thing.
Lucky
so
you.
So sad.
Oh, that's terrible.
She's super hot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Whatever your name is, that should be a compliment.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you for the call. We had some kind of phone trouble there. I don't know what was happening.
Let's try Trent, also maybe bragging. He's on line 4. I'm reasonably sure his name really is Trent. Hi, Trent. Thanks for calling.
Hi, yeah. I normally get Leonardo DiCaprio.
Me too.
Oh, wait. And are people very disappointed when they find out you're not?
God, yes. It's the worst face I've ever gotten in my life. Well, they normally turn around and they're like,
Because I think their disappointment matches the size of the star that they thought you were. Like Leonardo DiCaprio would be a huge celebrity sighting, and so they're super, super bummed when it's not him.
Exactly. I was at a wedding, and a guy behind me is like, "Oh, I think that's Leonardo. I think he taps me on the shoulder." And I turn around, and it's just like the utter look of disappointment kills me every time.
And you haven't done anything. It's not like you did anything wrong. You're already disappointing people the minute they meet you. That's so sad.
Exactly.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Eddie. He's on line 8. He has a lot of trouble in his life. Eddie, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Kevin and me, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Well, I've gotten mistaken for Ben Stiller, actually.
Ben Stiller?
Yes. I was the last time it happened, I was in line, and these two old ladies were behind me, and all I hear was, "Hey, that's Ben Stiller, isn't it?" And then they're going back and forth, and I feel a poke at my back, and then one of them says, "You're Ben Stiller, aren't you?" And I'm like, no, ma'am, I'm not. So after a minute of...
You should have turned around and said, "Yes, I am, and don't poke me."
After a minute of back and forth of no and yes, I said, "You know what, if I were Ben Stiller, ma'am, I would not be in the middle of downtown Santa Ana and a CVS buying Q-tips."
Hey, Ben Stiller needs Q-tips too, man. You don't
he has
know.
People.
He has P.S. Q-tip people.
I just love when it's old people, though, because there's no way you can talk them out of the fact that you're not Ben Stiller.
Exactly.
They've decided
they won't take
you're
no
Ben
for an
Stiller.
Answer.
They make That's you sign awesome. Their breasts, right?
All right. Thank, you, thank you for the call. We're running so desperately on time. We're not going to have time for we got Ed Norton, Apollo Ono, Jack Black, Rihanna. Let's talk to our friend Allie McKay. She's on the phone. She's on the super secret hotline. Allie McKay from the TV. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
How are
from
you? Channel 5. Thank you for listening. Why are you calling on this topic?
Well, because I actually sent the picture to Dave, the King of Mexico, because it's frightening. I've been told for the past year, "Oh my God, I love your Nice and Easy commercials." I'm like, really? Okay.
Nice and
Thank
easy.
You.
Did you
and
ever?
Then I finally watched the Nice and Easy ad, and it freaked me out. It's Angela Kinsey from The Office, but
yeah.
She looks nothing like Angela from The Office in these ads. She's like got, you know, vibrant makeup. Her hair looks great. She's got on cute clothes, whatever, not like the drab Angela that you see on The Office.
Right.
And her mannerisms, everything, it stops me in my tracks. And I'm
She's trying to be you, isn't she, Allie?
Not even a little
she's
bit.
She's trying to be you.
Let's be honest.
She wants to do a news story where she dresses up like an animal.
Totally, sure. She was on the show on Monday, and I met her, and we took a picture together, and it's scary.
It is a little scary. I got to be honest. I'm not sure which one is Angela.
Angela's the one with the better boobs on the left.
Okay.
Well, why don't you work on that and get back to us, Allie, okay?
No problem. I'll call back when I get them done.
Okay, good.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, no kidding.
Thanks. Oh! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55, giving you a chance to present Rise Against September 29th at Honda Center. Listen to K-Rock all week. Here's what you get. Your name on the ticket, your name on the marquee, you get a dressing room, you get to hang out backstage, and you get to meet the band.
Is that it?
That's too much.
Hmm.
How much do you get paid? How much do you get paid?
It's for free.
Oh,
you get that all
that
for
is
free.
Some BS.
That's
like work, right? A lot of work for nothing.
Right. Wow.
I got to get my
Ralph.
Name up on the marquee. I got to go backstage. I got to meet the band. I have to introduce the band. And
but
I get
this,
nothing?
I think this will be Rise Against fans. They'll be happy to do all that.
I don't think so.
All right.
Seems like a lot of work.
If you want to,
Ralph.
Keep listening to the world famous K-Rock.
We're going to talk to a celebrity coming up after the top of the hour who just bought a $100,000 car. What's up with that? Stick around. That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Well, not everybody is happy with the new James Bond movie that's coming out, Skyfall, the 23rd Bond film.
I saw the trailer. It looks great.
Coming out this November. Does look good, but some people are upset that James Bond will not be drinking his signature vodka martini shaken, not stirred in this film.
The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
I don't think you're upset about that, sir. He's going to be drinking Heineken's in this movie. As opposed
to
martinis.
That's the worst product sponsorship ever.
Are you kidding me?
What? I know everybody needs product, you know, placement, but to take,
are you
take
joking,
his martinis
Ralph?
Away from him and give him Heineken.
Yes!
Is pretty intense.
Wow.
That sounds like a joke. That sounds like The Onion wrote that story.
Are
you serious?
The Heineken's versus martinis decision netted the production a reported $45 million in product placement money.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I guess I would do it too then.
But a lot of people are against it. Even another former Bond, George Lazenby.
What?
George Lazenby.
He was a Bond?
He was a Bond. He was the Bond in between Connery and Moore.
Okay.
He did 1969's On Her Majesty's Secret Service. He came out and said, that's not right. Not so much because, well, for many reasons, but he said least of all is that Heineken isn't even the best beer out there. Daniel Craig, however, is defending it.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Saying the simple fact is, without them, we couldn't do this movie. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. This movie costs a lot of money to make and costs nearly as much, again, if not more, to promote it. So we go where we can, he said.
Yeah, Harry Potter, I'm sorry, you can't be a wizard anymore. You have to be a dog trainer in the next movie. We got a deal.
You have to install mufflers for Heineke. Yeah.
Well, how do you feel, Ralph? You're a lifelong James Bond
fan. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Is this a deal breaker for you?
It's an abortion. It's horrible.
I mean, you'll still go, but still.
It's horrible.
It's horrible, right?
It's repugnant.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Where's the outrage there?
Craig adds, the great thing is that Bond is a drinker.
Right.
He's always been. It's part of who he is, rightly or wrongly. You can make your own judgment about that. Having a beer is no bad thing. In the movie, it just happens to be Heineken.
That's so weird that that's been such... Like, when you first said that, people were upset. I was like, get a life. I mean, how much...
It's a pretty important part of the character,
and it just stands out like a sore thumb.
It does. I mean, look, it's one thing...
holding the bottle, winking into the camera as he takes a sip.
I have two of these per day.
It's one thing in the last few movies that he always has a new car, depending on who they cut a deal with. This time it's a BMW, maybe last time it's a Jaguar, whatever it is.
But this has been a staple of the Bond for 40 years, is the martini, right?
Yes.
Wow. They must have said no a bunch of times to get up to $45
million,
too.
I guess.
You know?
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
He also will be foregoing his trademark tuxedo for a tap-out t-shirt, which I think is also going to be inappropriate. But what do I don't know anything about making movies. Our best thoughts and wishes go out to Michael McKean, very talented comedic actor. He, of course, was David Sade Hubbins. In Spinal Tap, he was in all the Christopher Guest very, very funny movies. He's been on Broadway. He was Lenny in Squeaky. No, he was Lenny, at least, in the Laverne and Shirley TV series. Hit by a car yesterday in New York City. 86th and Broadway, he got hit. Broke his leg. It was bloodied and bashed pretty good. Taken to St. Luke's Hospital, and apparently he is in now stable condition. But just want to give you a shout-out. He's you can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Michael McKean. He and his wife are accepting tweets of goodwill for his speedy recovery. So check it out if you get a chance.
No bueno.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jewel is 38 years old. Singer Maxwell turns 39. Matt Smith of Maroon 5 is 42. Phil Selway, drummer for Radiohead, turns 45. Karen Duffy, former MTV VJ, actress and model, she is 51. And comedian and host of The Price is Right, Drew Carey, celebrates his 54th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. A couple of reasons to go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. One is the Kings are in the Stanley Cup Finals. And for some reason...
I hadn't heard anything about that, really?
For some reason, the local news keeps putting us stories about the Sacramento Kings and the NBA. They put their logo, they put their mascot. I mean, seriously. That's absurd.
It is hilarious for a team that's been in town since the 1967 season that nobody who works in local news seems to know what their colors are.
And this is the third round of the playoffs.
Right.
So they've had two rounds before this.
Yes.
It's just crazy. So you can go look at that. While you're there at the Kevin and Bean page, check out Motley Crue's Tommy Lee buys new Fisker hybrid supercar. Now, I don't know what this is.
I've never heard of it.
But Tommy Lee is very, very excited by it.
This is the luxury car of the year, according to Top Gear magazine. Car of the year, according to Top Gear TV. And apparently it is a hybrid, Kevin. Apparently it has fewer emissions than a Toyota Prius. But it only travels up to 50 miles on a charge.
Now, what?
How do you pay $100,000 for a car, albeit a beautiful car, and make it work if it only goes 50 miles on a charge?
Do you have extra batteries in the trunk? You have to pull over and get out?
I don't know, but I do know that we put the video up of the car being delivered to Tommy Lee's Calabasas home and listen to what he had to say as it pulled into the driveway. You tell me whether Tommy Lee's excited or not.
Yeah, what's up, dude? Badass.
You!
That is sex, dude.
Sweet.
What's up?
Tommy Lee, welcome back to the Kevin Abeen Show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, all right, partying, yeah.
You're very happy with your new car, huh?
Oh, yeah, my car is rock and roll. All right, yeah, rip it.
It's a Fisker Hybrid Supercar. You okay, Tommy?
What'd you say, dude?
He said, I said it's a Fisker Hybrid Supercar.
I thought you said Fisker.
No. No, Fisker. No, it's Fisker. No. Fisker.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. All right.
That would have been. Yeah.
Bananas, man.
I don't know. I don't understand any of the technology involved in how this thing works. It says twin AC motors straddling the rear axle deliver 402 horsepower to the differential. I guess that's good, Tommy?
Yeah. Oh, it's rock and roll. Ripping and tearing on the freeways of life. Yeah, bananas.
What about, as I understand in this article at kevinabeen.com, what about the fact that it only goes 50 miles on a charge? It seems like that's to get you to the supermarket and back's about all you can do with a $100,000 car.
Hey, you know, I was saying that it's important, you know, to get a hybrid. Yeah, because the environment is important, too. I mean, Earth is a planet. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Expound on that.
Hey, Bean.
Yes, Tommy Lee.
Have you ever had group sex with Dog the Bounty Hunter and Al Roker?
No, I don't think anyone ever has.
No one has.
I have. I highly recommend it. All right.
You've done that, huh?
Yeah.
Now, Tommy, have you driven anywhere in the car?
Oh, yeah, man. I've driven all over the place. I drove to go kayaking with Ozzy. I drove to the bar with Blackie Lawless. And then next thing I know, I was rock climbing with Mark Knopfler. All right. Yeah. Rock and roll.
Your life is crazy. Now, you're going to leave the car behind this summer. You're going out on a big tour with the band Kiss. What's that going to be like? Hello? Tommy?
Hello?
Tommy?
Sorry. Yeah. Hey,
what happened?
Sorry. I passed out because I got a boner and all the blood in my body went to my dong.
That's something to be careful of. It's Wednesday. Thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin Abeen Show. Time for an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head. Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Death is the best. I am a fan, and I'm pleased to say that I have a hobby that I don't think is ever going to go out of fashion. There's not going to come a time where there's nobody dying, where there's not stories to read.
There's not going to be anyone else vying for the crown.
Right, exactly.
You're the only one in that category.
But, you know, just like with so many other things we talk about on this show, it's kind of nice to have, just like the Internet Roundup, you can't follow everything, you can't watch everything on the Internet. It's kind of nice to have one place to go for all your death needs, and that's what we're happy to provide for you.
Do you think
the Kevin
people have a lot of death needs?
Got some great stories for you. Sometimes it's just people making poor decisions. Beer Mug, you'll relate to this guy. He goes out drinking with his... Hey, you don't know what the story is yet.
Oh, sorry.
He decides to go out drinking with his landlord until 3 o'clock in the morning. Chris Bailey is his name. He lives in Brighton, Britain. He's 28 years old. He gets home from a long night of drinking. What do you suppose he decides to do in that inebriated state?
Drink?
No, lift weights, Kevin. He decides he's going to lift weights in his garage. Well, his landlord, Oliver Steele, finds the man's body in the garage the next day. He woke up, and I found him on the bench with a bar across his chest. I tried to wake him, but I knew he was dead. I had to try and lift the weight off of him, which wasn't easy because it was so heavy. I tried to resuscitate him, but he was gone. You don't lift weights after a night of drinking. That's by yourself, right?
Bean, you're not a drinker. You do anything after. If you drink all night, everything is the best idea you've ever
That's
had.
That's right. Doesn't matter. Painting, yep. Water skiing, whatever it is.
Whatever.
Here's someone else who failed at sport. He's a professional boxer from New Zealand. He had his professional boxing debut this week. He's from New Zealand, but for some reason he was boxing in Tahiti, by the way.
Okay.
The French Polynesian Boxing Federation confirmed that the man died in a hospital about an hour after being admitted in a fight. He was hit 32 seconds into the first round of his first fight. and was killed.
Wow.
He is not a good boxer. He was not prepared. He did not have the skill set to make a viable career out of boxing.
That was round one of his life
first
in boxing?
Fight. Yes.
Wow.
29 years old.
Most
hit
of the time,
in the head, taken to the hospital, dead.
Most of the time when you're just getting started, you fight other people that are just getting started. They're not that good.
Right.
No. It's not like you fight the best in the world. That's all.
Not a great, an auspicious beginning to his career. He's no Muhammad Ali. Ralph made reference to this guy on the show yesterday, but he's worth a mention here in the Death Corner as well. Robert Gene White is the man. He's everybody's hero. 67 years old, goes to a Texas strip club. This happened last Friday night. When it came time to pay, well, the girls found him unresponsive. Yes, he had died in the strip club. Got too many lap dances. Death by strippers, ladies and gentlemen.
Death by lap dance. I love it.
That's how you want to go.
And he did it without just before you're supposed to pay.
Absolutely, yeah. He had a heart attack, so I don't know where they should advertise where this strip club is. It's
no
not
kidding.
Because it sounds like the chicks must be unbelievably hot there, right?
Gave a guy a heart attack. It should
say
on the sign.
Gave a guy a heart attack, right. Here's one, speaking of Ralph, I think he'll enjoy this very much. He, I'm certain, must be familiar with the porn star Sunny Day. She's been around for a long time. She is a Florida porn star who is famous in the bondage world, does a lot of that.
Okay.
She also apparently will have sex for hire.
Right.
She was hired by a 28-year-old named Jason Andrews. This happened back in 2010. It's in the news this week because the trial has just concluded. She went over to this guy's house, and for some reason, and it's unclear why, she and her boyfriend decided that they were going to kill this guy. But she had sex with him first.
Okay.
After she went over, had sex with a guy who had hired her to have sex with him, then her boyfriend came into the room and they bludgeoned him to death with a hammer.
Why?
Would you do that? And then they robbed him. Then they stole $6,000 from him, credit cards, video game, ransacked his apartment, and took off.
Was she just checking to make sure there was no one else there? Why would she have sex with him first?
She just had an itch that he could scratch.
I don't know, but I wanted to bring this story up because, A, you know, you don't often see famous porn stars committing murder, but B, this is not what the guy was paying for. This is not how he envisioned this game was going to go.
The contract that was drawn up? Maybe he wanted to be killed.
But here's a guy who goes, hey, here's my favorite porn star. I can't believe how awesome this is. How lucky am I get to hire the actual woman that I love on film, have her come over and service me. The last thing in the world he expects is that he's going to be bludgeoned to death with a hammer, right? That is not sexy.
I think it's nice that she slept with him first. So it's the highest high and the lowest low. But at first you have the highest high.
At first there was some payoff.
Yeah.
You're right, Lisa. When you put it that way, it's like our friend in the strip club. It would have been so much worse if he hadn't had such a great night before he went out.
Exactly.
And finally, in all the time we've been doing Death Corner, I've never seen one end like this before. But here's a woman who gets into an altercation over a parking spot. Now, she's dropping off her kid. She takes her kid to school on a scooter. And for some reason, she needs to leave her scooter out in front of a shopping center, in front of a guy's store. The guy comes out of a store. He's 42 years old. He says, you can't leave your bike there. And she says, I'm only running him for a second. He says, no. An altercation begins. They get into a tussle. She grabs him by the testicles.
Oh!
And squeezes them until he blacks out.
Oh, my God.
Passersby call 911, whatever that is in China. They take him to the hospital. The man is already dead.
It killed him?
He died by ball squeezing.
How did that? Did he have a heart attack or something?
Oh, my God.
It doesn't say. I don't know what the science is behind. I know you do pass out from the pain of having your testicles squeezed, but I didn't know that you could squeeze so far that it would kill you.
That's just not good.
Woman wants to park her scooter in front of your shop. You say yes. No death by what they're calling testicular asphyxiation.
Oh, man.
Who, by the way, are on the Warped Tour this year,
that's
too.
True.
And you definitely ought to check them out. This has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Natalie Perrin from one of the Costas, Mesa, Rica, I'm not sure which.
Mesa,
just one tickets. Is it Costa Mesa?
I don't think it's Rica.
She was the baby killer, right? Natalie Perrin? Or was she the one from Italy?
She won tickets to see Rise Against, is what she did September 29th at the Honda Center, and now she is eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to send, perhaps, Natalie to have her name on the marquee, tickets in the pit, all-access passes, dressing room backstage to meet the bands, the whole deal. She presents the show if she wins. Again, grand prize drawing Friday, your chance to win coming up, and details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph.
Come on! Let's get the hell out of here.
Second show is yelling
at me for?
Because we have to go.
What's going on? What's so important today that we have to go somewhere?
It's Slurp Free Day.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Slurpees are free?
Yes!
Okay.
Slurp free. Not a Slurpee anymore. It's a Slurp free today.
But it's their new BS Diet Slurpees, though, isn't it?
Only Bean
would
know.
Wait, you won't do Diet Slurpees?
That's why they're
doing it. It is celebrating the launch of Slurpee Light. Don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh. Slurpee Light? What can that possibly be? It's pure sugar and ice.
Not anymore, Kevin. With Slurpee Light, you can get the Fanta sugar-free mango Slurpee.
Nope.
You can get the Slurpee Fanta lemon watermelon lime light Slurpee. Sugar-free strawberry banana. Sugar-free cherry limeade. Orange explosion. Lemon cream. Come on. These are your choices now with the Slurpee Light. And to celebrate... You today at participating 7-Elevens can get your slurp free.
Do you have to say it that way?
From 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's any free 7.11 ounce Slurpee drink.
Oh, it doesn't even have to be the slurp free one. It can be the regular Slurpee?
Slurpee Light, yes.
Slurpee Light, right. Yeah.
It can be any Slurpee drink you want, but only the 7.11 ounce size.
Sure, that's a taster cup is what that is. I don't like anything that's awesome that they turn into a diet thing. Like, I don't like diet Oreos. Don't screw with perfection, I say.
You know, they're not eliminating the other Slurpees, right? They still will have those as well.
Yeah, but don't mess with it. Don't monkey around with it. The Slurpee's great, and it should only be one
Slurpee. But you can continue getting the Slurpee.
Right. That affects you not.
I don't like Slurpees. I don't even get Slurpees. But my point
what?
Is... I'm not a Slurpee fan.
You
at
are
all.
Un-American,
talked about this
sir.
Before.
You are un-American.
One of the only decent things to get at a 7-Eleven, and you don't care for that. But you love 7-Elevens.
I go to 7-Eleven every single day of my whole life. But I don't care for Slurpees. But I'm just saying, don't monkey with it.
You don't even drink it. What do you care?
This affects you less than not. If you don't drink Slurpees, then why should you possibly care if they make additional choices for other people who would like a diet Slurpee?
Then why don't we just make American flags that have 5 stripes and 11 stars on it just to mix it up, just to make it different? Why don't we just screw with everything that's perfect the way it is?
That's actually a perfect analogy.
It really is.
Thank you.
Perfect sense. A sugar-free Slurpee is the exact same thing as changing the flag.
The guy is very upset about a diet drink that he doesn't like the original of.
Right.
I don't approve. I don't like it. I urge you to boycott.
You are dumb.
Same man who was angry at people who drink iced coffee.
I'm furious about that. And that's got to stop.
You have to stop. You have to be put down like a mad dog.
That's correct. Look, let's move on, but the important thing is you can go to a 7-Eleven today and you can get a free real Slurpee and stay away from this Slurpee Light BS.
I'm going to get only Slurpee Lights from now on to counteract your prejudice.
You do have to balance the world.
I do. I have to go do whatever Bean doesn't do. I have to pick up the slack.
That does sound like communism going here and there is what it sounds like to me.
Are you against it?
I'm against it. Yes, as a matter of fact. Thank you, Ralph.
You said, did you mean to say that? You better believe I did.
Thank you.
It's getting more like communism saying we're going to do this and do that.
Bean's been playing that damn again it drop all day long. The one conversation we're having about being against something. Nothing. Silence. Radio silence from the island.
The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
Couldn't be more appropriate. Nothing.
I bet that guy's into the Slurpee lights.
Craziness. Have we ever done a call-in topic on crazy collections? Thing you collect that are just weird that no one else collects?
Not recently.
I mean, all right-thinking Americans collect comic books and Batman memorabilia. We know that. That's normal. That's right. Respected.
Okay.
But some people have strange collections.
Like
Anna Kendrick, the actress, the super talented, beautiful actress Anna Kendrick. She collects lip balms.
Different kinds?
Yes. She wanders through drugstores wherever she goes, she says, trying to find varieties of lip balms she has never tried. And says she has a priceless collection of chapsticks and lip balms.
But can priceless mean no price?
It means no one will pay anything for it. So there's no price that you can put on it. She collects lip balms and goes out of her way to try to find new varieties of lip balms she's never experienced before.
You know that Bean collects odd things that none of us would ever think of. You know that's true. But
I don't think
Bean
that,
doesn't strike me as a collector.
I'm not a collector.
I don't think he really
has
anything.
I really am not. I will tell you, though, that our friend Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Archive, you guys know Kevin.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He collects Mountain Dew cans from every country in the world.
That's a weird collection.
That's a bizarre thing to collect, yeah. Oh, man, you're going to Sweden? Stephen, get me a Mountain Dew can. I need that one for my collection. I mean, he's got hundreds of them.
That's nuts.
But he asks other people to... Because I can see if you're a world traveler and you want to get something from every place you go.
Hey, if you're a collector, you don't care where it comes from. You just want it in your house.
My cousin used to collect beer cans.
His entire basement was just filled with little 6-inch shelving all over the walls and just packed wall to wall to wall
just
with
beer
cans.
Just as many different brands as he could find.
Many different kinds of different beers that he could find from all around the world.
That's a fairly common collectible, beer cans. There are a lot of those people.
Mountain Dews.
That's strange. I don't know how it got started or what it's about, but he has hundreds of them. You know, it's crazy.
That's wild.
That's a good topic, though. Let's do that sometime.
I bet Britney Spears would like to come by his house.
But she loves Mountain Dew. Doesn't she just drink? He's a Mountain Dew drinker.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Her rider for her new X Factor gig, where she's getting $15 million to be a judge on the panel of that show alongside Simon Cowell and Demi Lovato and L.A. Reid. Here's her rider. Besides the 34 Hervé Léger dresses she insists she needs. Besides the magnolia blossoms in her dressing room, besides the personal manicurist and facialist and massage therapist she gets, she also demands 10 pieces of chicken and 4 pints of potato salad every week for each episode, 10 snack-sized bags of Doritos.
For every time they film?
Yeah. 6 cases of Diet Coke and 12 Snickers bars.
6 cases?
Yeah. Must be in her her dressing room at all times, so... That's where the party is.
Wow.
Can't believe she got the Mountain Dew in there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays on Slurp Free Day. I'm getting my damn free Slurpee.
But you're going to make it light. You're going to make it
light. Oh, yeah, Slurpee Light.
Yeah.
The new Fanta.
Those are the only good ones.
Limeade. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jewel is 38 years old today. Maxwell's 39. Matt Flynn of Maroon 5 turns 42. Phil Selway. The Radiohead drummer, he is 45 years old today. Karen Duffy, actress and model, former MTV VJ, 51 years old. And Drew Carey, comedian and host of Price is Right, is 54. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah.
Lister Cat weighs in.
Oh,
I collect lip balm, too. I thought I was the only one.
No, Cat, you and Anna Kendrick have something in common.
Lip balm.
All right.
Yeah. Got to do that topic. That sounds like fun.
Why bother when you know that it's got to be Burt's Bees, right?
You mean the best lip balm?
Best lip balm? Yeah,
I don't know. Why have
bother?
A best?
Why bother? Oh, that Ducks lip balm's real good.
He loves the Ducks.
He does. Yeah, the Anaheim Ducks.
The Anaheim Ducks lip balm. They sent us a big case. Anaheim Ducks lip balm. It's really excellent lip balm. I don't know what it's got in, but it immediately softens your lips.
But don't all lip balms?
I want to send Anna Kendrick a couple of those Ducks lip balms.
Let's do that tomorrow, then. We'll do strange collections. Strange things that you collect tomorrow morning. We also have Bucky Lassick on the program.
Bucky Lassick!
The X Games going on sale. We have Dr. Drew. Bean wants to ask him about peyote because he's seriously considering it.
Oh, stop. First it was acid, now it's peyote.
Sounds like fun.
And we
what
have
if it's diet peyote? What's peyote like?
Ooh, I cannot abide.
That's not good. And we have Henry Rollins on the program tomorrow talking about his Animal Underworld show where he takes a look at snake charmers and other kinds of nut jobs in the world. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.